with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Minute past the hour, and we begin this Tuesday evening edition of The Horn. How y'all are? I'm a man who did not awake to a ceiling on my phone, so, you know, we got that going for us, which is good. You know, if you look at the show post for today, you'll note that we're just calling it a sort of random mixed bag, which it is. But as is so often the case, as I look at these things, the more a theme begins to emerge, and in particular in this instance, well, let's start it this way. Because we got lying and cheating and dirty dealing and thieving and, you know, all the things that Rapig Lickens are the very best at. We got it all on the plate tonight. We had a rousing show last night. I want to thank you all for it. Starting a week after being away for the better part of one, it was gratifying, and I do appreciate it. You guys make some great radio. You really, really do. And I want to thank folks for jumping out and starting the ordering process for the beautiful handmade print that is now available for purchase on the website, headonradionetwork.com. Jump out there. Buy them up. They will not last long. And you will have a little piece of something entirely original, handmade, and as special can be. And considering what you're getting, they're a bargain. Plus, of course, you know that in doing so, you will help make our coverage of Netroots Nation a little less stressful, which would be just simply magnificent. You know, not being stressed out. You can't... I mean, there's going to be some stress involved. We're going to be doing some pretty amazing stuff, and there's going to be a lot of really, really... excellent discussion taking place. But not sitting there and sweating peanut butter sandwiches and so forth actually matters too. Plus, anything left, of course, goes into the monthly upkeep of the Horn. So click on it. Click on the ad. It's all over the website, headonradionetwork.com. And avail yourself of this little bit of creativity, a lot of creativity, and a whole lot of heart, and just a few instances of it. Signed and numbered by the artist, our own Blythe Rain. For the Love of West Virginia, it's called. I'm looking at it right now, and it's gorgeous. You need one. So, thanks to those of you who have already ordered, and I hope a lot more of you will as well. We are only, after all, days away from departing for Pittsburgh. That will happen a week from today. We will leave for Pittsburgh on Tuesday, the 11th, and that gives us all day Wednesday the 12th, to get all the tech in line and get all the little the little bits and bytes and so forths and ethers and whatnot behaving the way they need to behave so that when the whistle blows and the balloon goes up at about 9 o'clock on Wednesday morning, you and thousands like you will be there for it as though you were sitting in the David Lawrence Convention Center yourselves. Isn't that cool? Why, yes. Yes, it is. So that's the plan. But anyway, where we start today? Well, we start at Sherman set the Wayback Machine for Clinton's zipper. And the reason I say that is as follows. I remember very well the mid to late 90s in this country. I remember it better than I probably have any business. It was infuriating day after day looking at these un-American, porcine, verminous repiglicans as they sought anything in the world to try to unseat and undo a fairly elected U.S. president. Now, we're not going to do 3 hours on what Bill Clinton got right and what Bill Clinton got wrong. We're not. But he was a Democratic president. Some would say the best Republican president we ever had. And the Republican Party was so insane over the way that he had beaten their asses at every turn, electorally speaking, that they absolutely lost their minds. And I remember, the babies were just little. I remember one day driving around, and we had the whole family in the family truckster, and listening to some right-wing blatherskate, probably Flush Flemball on the radio, and looking at my lovely wife, Agnes, and saying, you know, honey, I think if Bill Clinton climbed a tree that was burning and rescued a baby bunny, a kitty, and a puppy, and brought them all safe and sound down to earth, with nary a hair on their precious little bodies singed, the Repiglicans would find something to bitch about.
Oh, well, maybe there was still a squirrel in the tree and he forgot to get it. He doesn't love America! He's a liar! You know what he did. He had Janet Reno put that little bunny and that little kitty and that little puppy in that tree so he could go up and rescue them. That's what he did. And he had sex while he was up there.
Really? I mean, and they'd spend $70 million to get the Kenneth Starr to write a prurient report about it. Fiscal conservatives, you just can't beat it. But I was reminded of that this afternoon when I saw the news break about former President Clinton's successful trip to North Korea, wherein he met with Kim Jong-il and secured the release of the two journalists who had, quote-unquote, illegally entered North Korea. That must be a squirrely place, you know. I mean, I saw the video footage of Bill Clinton sitting there, and he's a tall guy. Bill is. He's taller than me. He's 6'4" or something. But I saw the footage of him sitting there next to Kim Jong Il. Kim Jong Il looked like he was about a foot and a half tall, and not looking real good. I don't think Kim Jong Il is long for this world. But I remember I was sitting there because we had to be out and about, and I had some time to just sit and stare at the TV. And I thought, you know, somehow or another, some Repiglican out there is going to claim that he screwed up, that Bill Clinton made a mistake by getting those two Americans freed from some North Korean hellhole, which is, of course, different from an American hellhole insofar as it's North Korean. But a hell, you know, hellholes is hellholes. And lo and behold, I get back here, I come in the door, I start doing my show prep, and all of a sudden I feel like I need to go and get the little purple robe with the tattered moon and stars and the frayed cuffs on it, and my magic eight ball with the crack in it out, because, boom, I'm a prophet again. I mean, this is magic stuff. If I could come up with lottery numbers, we'd be set, and I'd never have to do another, won't you please help support the horn thing again. So I'm working on the lottery numbers, but right now I can just, but then again, how much magic is involved in predicting the ingrate, un-American, sickening, self-gratifying, politically masturbatory conduct of the Republican Party? I mean, how much magic? You just know they're going to do it. So lo and behold, I get in here into the studio, and what do I find? Well, apparently, the instant that the news began to break that the journalists were going to be specially pardoned by Kim Jong-il, lo and behold, the phony Fox News Network immediately hustled out that guy with the porn mustache, Michael Bolton. No, that's the singer. John Bolton. And what? And remember, this all started with me reminiscing from, you know, 12 years, 13 years ago, that if Bill Clinton climbed a burning tree and rescued a puppy, a kitty, and a baby bunny, that the Republicans would complain. So, ladies and gentlemen, I give you John Bolton.
But I worry that the outcome is a lot better for North Korea than for the United States. I mean, this is a classic case of rewarding bad behavior, the seizure of these two basically innocent Americans. Obviously, all of us want to get them out, but we want it done in a way that doesn't increase the risks in the future for other Americans seized by North Korea, seized by Iran, seized by other despotic regimes, and then turned into pawns to get the senior officials like former presidents to come and legitimize the regime in order to get them out.
What? Edith? Wes.
So, once again, Bill Clinton screwed up by securing the freedom of two Americans trapped in a North Korean hellhole. You getting the message there, America? There is nothing, 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 nothing that a Democrat can do, no matter how noble, no matter how good, no matter how absent any personal motive whatsoever, there is nothing that a liberal or a progressive or a Democrat can do that the Republican Party will not scream treason over. My God, they'll probably be teabagging Bill Clinton by morning. Or they'll have some health care rallies or chase him screaming the Pledge of Allegiance, for God's sakes. And again, this is another one of those Tom Tang creepy moments. I'm stealing that one. Remember last night I said I was stealing Tom Tang creepy? See, I just did. This is one of those Tom Tang creepy moments because John Bolton, you know, every time I see him, I just want to give him a little saxophone. No, that's, I don't know. Who's the guy that plays the little saxophone? That's not Michael Bolton, though. He's got the hair, Michael Bolton. But every time I see this Bolton character with his little porn mustache, and it's sick, and it makes my head hurt just thinking about it. But I always imagine him in a 70s polyester Dacron leisure suit with lapels about 9 inches wide and a butterfly bow tie and one of those god-awful Kiana shirts just boogieing his brains out at, I don't know, the Studio 54. But anyway, I see him, and I wonder, who out there thinks this man has any relevance? Because I say again, just like Tom Tancredi, or Newt Gingrich, again, out of office, or Tom DeLay, pick one. None of them are in office. You know, the Willard Romney. What the hell has he got to say about anything? He's not running for anything, and he's not in office. Lord knows we couldn't get a Democrat on the Sunday talk shows for 8 long years. Well, you know, we only want to talk to the people who are making policy. Well, now the people who were making policy those 8 years ago, they're out of office, and damned if the for-profit media isn't still insisting on talk. Well, you know, they're a part of the loyal opposition. Oh, stop it! But how can you not ask? How can you not ask? Why? The Porn Stash Bolton is on the TV box. Why is Tom Tancredi on the TV box? Why is Newt Gingrich on the TV box? They have nothing to offer. They have nothing to say that isn't just sickening and negative and insightful, not insight, not insightful, but incitefuel. It's nothing but the base red meat rhetoric. I mean, imagine that. Imagine that. Criticizing a humanitarian effort to free two women who, for all we know, have committed no crime. Lord God, Billy Bob.
I worry that the outcome is a lot better for North Korea than for the United States.
Ask the journalists, Pornstash. Ask the people who have been freed from a nightmare hell in some North Korean hellhole. Ask them if the outcome is better for North Korea than for the United States. What did it do to the dignity of the United States to send an ex-president who, you know, just like John Bolton, has no power, over to sit down with a short little guy who wears elevator shoes? What if it actually did some good, Pornstash? What if maybe by being something besides a damn bully, what if a little bit of outreach protects those American sons, daughters, mothers, and fathers who are in South Korea, because it's still a hot war, you know. No treaty, just a ceasefire. That's all. What if this little bit of diplomacy protects their lives and keeps the North Korean army from pouring over the demilitarized zone? Because those 50 or 80,000 or whatever it is Americans who are there, no matter how brave, no matter how valiant, no matter how utterly imbued with courage, could not withstand, you know, 4 or 5 million people just running over them. Numbers is numbers. I mean, we saw it with, if you know your history, you see it with Grant in the War Between the States. He knew the South, the Southern forces, had X number of bullets, and he knew he had 2X number of men, so you just throw men at the bullets until the bullets are gone, and then you overwhelm them, and you win. Well, that's the kind of that's the kind of calculus that's involved along the North Korea-South Korea demilitarized zone, too. But then again, Pornstash Bolton is a right-wing goon. And he doesn't give a tinker's damn. Oh, by the way, in answer to a question, because I used that phrase, did you know that that's not swearing? It's TINKER apostrophe SDAM.
In other words, a tinker's dame, a tinker's wife, which is supposedly of minuscule value. Probably sexist, and I should probably take it out of the repertoire. But he doesn't give a tinker's damn about any mother's son, any father's daughter, any child's mother or father who is in that area of potential nightmare conflict in Korea. All the Republicans want to do is score political points and damn the United States of America if we happen to get in the way of their avarice and their merciless, shameless search for political power sufficient to destroy what is left of this once great nation. Breathtaking, isn't it? Laura Ling and Yuna Lee, they've been in prison for more than a couple of months. I remember hearing about them, I think, back in early June when I was in D.C. And it's not just the Fox that gives credence to Pornstash Bolton. Agence France-Presse also went to ask, I don't know, or maybe he goes and knocks on their door and says, I've got a quote for you, please pretend I'm relevant. Because he told Agence France-Presse the following. It comes perilously close to negotiating with terrorists. I think this is a very bad signal because it does exactly what we always try and avoid doing with terrorists or with rogue states in general, and that's encouraging their bad behavior. What a bunch of ninny-nannies. These authoritarian wits. At some point in time, individual human lives do matter. Yuna Lee's life mattered. Laura Ling's life mattered. And I doubt that there is anyone within the reach of my voice or not within the reach of my voice who would not want someone to make an effort on behalf of their loved one in a similar situation. But then again, there's a young man somewhere in Afghanistan, unless I missed the denouement to that story, and right-wingers are out there screaming for the Taliban to hurry up and execute him. And of course, you remember where you heard first and foremost and ceaselessly, if you were of a certain age, that we don't negotiate with terrorists, BS. You heard it from the mouth of that greasy-headed old freak, Ronald Reagan, Saint Ronnie, who told the nation, well, we don't negotiate with terrorists, mommy. And then proceeded to do exactly that. To negotiate with the people who were holding our embassy staff hostage. To negotiate with Hamas and Hezbollah. To negotiate with terrorists. Supporting a terrorist organization that they called Freedom Fighters. Supporting a terrorist organization that they called Freedom Fighters in El Salvador and Nicaragua that turned out to be right-wing death squads. To negotiate and openly support terrorists in Afghanistan who turned out to be the Taliban and the so-called Al-Qaeda. Republican man speak with forked tongue. You know what I mean? But that's a starting point for the evening. There's ever so much more. Dirty Lion Coal Thugs? That wouldn't surprise you, would it?
No.
Dirty Lion Bush administration? We got some of that, too. Oh, it's going to be a merry, merry little night. And you can make it merrier with your phone calls to 877-443-2366. 877-4-HEAD-ON. You can direct dial to 304-658-3333 if you have some sort of unlimited long-distance dialing plan. You can reach the show via email at bobkincaid, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D, at gmail.com. I want to welcome all of the Malloy listeners as well as the live listeners and the podcast listeners. You know, you can always get your thoughts across to the program, even if you're listening in delay, by sending an email. I really appreciate them, and I love reading them. Let's go ahead and go to the phones.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Juanita.
I wanted to talk about some of the things you were talking about on yesterday's show.
Okay.
But before I do, I'd like to say something. I was thinking about what you were talking about just now, about, you know, talking about how being sick of the last 8 years, which in actuality, we've been hearing all that stuff like we're hearing now, like John Bolton, for the all of Clinton's years.
Yes, that's true.
And, you know, so no wonder we're sick of it. But John Bolton, you know, he's one of the ones that went down to, I know you know that he was one of the ones that went down to here to Florida, banging on the windows and all.
Oh, yeah, he was part of the Brooks Brothers riot.
Right. And those people that are protesting now, I thought to myself, that reminds me of 2000, the year 2000. You know, all these people going around, they won't let the people talk. They'll answer my questions, and then they'll try to answer what I said. I'm trying to. But so they're going around on buses and all, and they've been trained on how to, you know, get the thing, take over the thing, you know, so nothing's really accomplished. But a few things I wanted to talk about yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
They were talking about the thing, you know, where they're going to kill the senior citizens.
Yes.
Okay. For the past few years that I've been going to the doctor or even, you know, be in the hospital or whatever, up until over at least a year ago, maybe less than a year ago, I've been asked every time about a living will, and I've been giving them to be filled out. But I haven't been asked about it for a while. So when did this start?
Very
true. They're trying to say, isn't that basically what they're talking about is doing a living will?
Yeah, or what's called an advance directive or a medical power of attorney.
Yeah. But, you know, I just think about how they just twist things. That's what I want to bring up, that point.
Yes.
And then another thing, I want to get back to the health care, but I want to say this. We're talking about those people. Was there no one there to arrest them? You know, every time one of our people gets up and they get arrested, no matter what. And do you remember when Jeb Bush was the governor, and down in Miami, basically it was just a few senior citizens were going to protest him, and Jeb Bush ordered, I guess it was the Black Guard, you know, where they have the hoods and everything on? Anyway, a whole bunch of them, you know, they're specially trained, and they wear the black.
Oh, Blackwater? Or?
I guess. And they had the rubber bullet guns.
Yeah, the riot guns.
Huh?
Yeah, riot guns.
And there's pictures of those on the Internet if anybody's interested. But, and this was just against, you know, just a few people, a few senior citizens and maybe a few young people. And he had brought them in. Anyway, to quell them. And Randy Rhoads at the time, later on, I heard her talking about, she was the radio show host down there, and one of the men that was working, one of the young men that was working with her, she sent him out to do, you know, reporting back to the thing. Well, he got shot with rubber bullets, and those things were big.
Oh, yeah.
They can do a lot of damage.
Yes, they absolutely can, especially the soft, boneless areas of the body.
Yeah, and if they actually hit the right spot, they can kill you just like a BB gun. You know, it hits the right spot. You can be a goner, maybe not right away, but later on it goes to your heart or something. But that's basically, I wanted to bring that up. I think sometime we need to remember our recent history, because there's so much of it, you tend to forget it. And I think we need to remember what these people have been up to for quite a long time. Well, this was the guy that was the governor of our state, and he used his authority, you know, to do that.
But he's also, yeah, he's a Bush. That's how Bushes behave.
Right. You know, some people say, oh, well, I think he'd be better than his brother. Whoa. But anyhow.
Yeah, but better than his brother is like saying that Beelzebub would be better than Satan.
Yeah. And then I wanted to say something about the health care again. I watched some of the meetings. I watched some. I got my days mixed up. Today seemed like Sunday to me, but I think it was Sunday that I saw some of the repeats of some of the hearings with in the House. And I've got a new hero, Representative Weiner.
Yeah.
From New York.
Yeah, Weiner, I think.
Weiner, whatever. And he brought up, maybe you know about it, what he brought up about what was in an amendment. He said, now, I'm not voting for this, but said, I'm going to give you people, you Republicans, a chance to vote on this because you're always saying that.
Oh, yeah, you're against that government health care.
Uh-huh. And they were, oh, no, we're not voting for that. How, you know, you mean you bring up a amendment and you're not planning on voting for it? But he did it just, you know, to just show them for what they were. He
well, yeah, just, frankly, to make them eat it.
Yeah. And it was great. It was perfect, you know, the way he did it. And so he's my new hero. I really like him. And, I mean, we have a few people, you know, that stands up for us every now and then.
Right. You know, it's like that old saying, you know, even a blind hog finds an acorn now and then.
A blind hog?
Yeah.
I haven't heard
now, that. Now, doggone it, Juanita, I know you bound to heard that.
Oh, Lord. And you're going to love me for this, but can I quote a few Bible verses?
You jump right out there and quote away.
Now, I know that people know these things, but I just want to point out some Bible verses. This is things about Jesus. And Jesus never, ever criticized the people that they call the sinners and even the publicans, the tax collectors. He never criticized them. In fact, those are the kind of people he hung around with.
Yes.
And
well, they were a lot nicer people to hang around with than well-to-do and the well-heeled and the pious and the I would have too. We all would have probably. Then again, you know, we're the kind of people Jesus would hang around with.
Oh yeah. And they called him people that he did get on to was what they call the scribes and the Pharisees,
yep,
the ruling class of the Jewish religion.
Right.
And he even called them that they were their father, Satan, and they didn't like that too much. I'm trying to find them. I had this all down, so. But anyway, one thing he said that the harlots and the publicans would go into the kingdom of heaven before they would.
Yeah, before the rich.
Before those people, those self-righteous people, yeah. You know, the ones that's got it all down pat. And he called them vipers and. I mean, he called them some bad names.
Oh, yes. And frankly, I think some of it was watered down in the translation.
Probably was. I mean, he really let them have it. He needs to say, woe unto you. Oh, I found it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Most of these verses come from Matthew.
Mm-hmm.
Said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer you, them that are entering, to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer, therefore you shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourself.
You know, that's a deep one, Juanita.
Oh, yeah.
You compass the land and the sea to make one proselyte and make him twice as bad as yourself, which is what?
Which is what?
That's what I said. You compass land and sea to make one proselyte.
The more the child of hell than yourself.
The more the child of hell than... Yeah, and isn't that exactly what these family values conservatives do?
Oh, yeah. Twisted teaching.
Well, not just twisted teaching, but they take... You know, look at the family up on C Street.
Yeah, I was thinking family when I was saying that. Doesn't it explain a lot of things going on now to you?
It certainly does. And you know, that was the genius of Yeshua.
Yeah.
That's the reason that the words of his life still hold meaning. Now, I'm not talking about being a Baptist or a Presbyterian or a Methodist or whatever. I'm talking about the words as they're recorded. Because even among those the hardcore atheists who say, well, you know, he didn't even exist. Well, that's fine, but you know what? For their time, those words are radical.
Well,
and they are, and they're, and here's one of those Albert moments. They're paradigm shifting. In a world that is,
I always have something to say about Albert.
And in a world that is brutal, in a world where murder and death are wholesale items.
Yeah.
To make an argument that we should be a little nicer to each other was, well, obviously, it was a capital offense.
Yeah. I was watching some things about Hitler on the History Channel, and it was against the law if he was going through and you were in the crowd, and if you didn't do that Heil Hitler sign, you know, with your hand up, you could be put to death for that.
As not being sufficiently devoted to the dear leader.
You're a traitor. For traitor, being a traitor.
Right.
And look at how they called us traitors.
Sure.
To this country. And I just want to say a few more verses, and then I want to say a little something else. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law. Judgment, mercy, and faith. These you ought to have done and not leave the other undone. And woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they're full of extortion and excess. And again, woe unto you, for you're like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. And he said, the Son of Man, this is in Luke, the Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, behold, a gluttonous man and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners.
Oh, God, it's exactly, it's all, wow.
And did you hear about the, now that Biden made a little, was talking about Putin. Did you hear about what he had said? He said, Jesus Christ. Oh, they're talking about him, you know, taking Jesus'
name. He took the Lord's name in vain.
And about and about, you know, if he'd have done that about Muhammad, you know, it's just been the devil to pay and all blah, 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 you know. Well, Bob, I think we've got it all twisted what God means about taking his name in vain. I think it's saying that you're this man of, you're this godly man, you believe in family values, but you don't
care.
You don't care about anything,
right.
You know, like
yeah,
that.
You take the Lord's name in vain.
That's taking God's name in vain.
Yes, it is. When you stand up there and you say, I believe in family values and I want to get the Republican Party back to its family values roots. Now, pardon me, I got to go hook up with my hookah and get my diaper on.
Yes.
You're taking the Lord's name in vain. You know, David Vitter takes the Lord's name in vain. Newt Gingrich takes the Lord's name in vain. Sarah Palin takes the Lord's name in vain. Because they make a mockery of faith.
Right. And you have to be careful about God, I think. But we misunderstand, you know, what he's taught. I mean, like that. You know, it's not saying GD. I don't like to say GD. I was raised not to say it. But, you know, I know people that have said it all their life, and they're some of the best people I know. That has got nothing to do with doing, those are just words. That's got nothing to do, I believe. I truly believe.
Well, and if you think about that particular phrase, if it's said as an expletive, if it is said in the imperative voice, as it were.
And he didn't say it as an expletive.
You know. If you're driving a nail into a board and you miss the nail and you hit your thumb and the first thing that comes out, God damn it! If the big invisible guy in the clouds with the beard and the juvenile delinquent tendencies, you're actually asking to damn that hammer. Curse this hammer.
Yeah. But you know, look at the woman that, guy interviewed her husband is the preacher, you know, where they go around and protest and they say, you know, Matthew Shepard is in hell and all that kind of stuff. Did you hear that when he interviewed her? That woman had a foul mouth.
Absolutely. She was a dirty, yet she was a nasty thing.
Yeah, and yet she's this perfect Christian. But I'm not really criticizing that, but I'm just saying that these people, they think whatever they do is okay. It's fine because they're special. They're God's special people. You know, and I don't know that, but I just wanted to bring some of those things out that.
Well, I'm glad you did.
But another thing. He says they're damned. These people are damned. And, you know, people have said, well, he just damned all the Jewish people. No, he didn't, because he never damned the people that he hung around with. He never did, you know.
Yeah.
It was the people who were self-righteous, the ones he called their father, the devil. And, you know, yet he said, oh, Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, you who slay the prophets, and I'm not saying it right, but said, oh, that you would gather unto me, as that I could gather you under me like a chicken gathers her chick under her, you know, but you would not. He led them anyway.
Yeah, well, you know, and the but Father forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Yeah.
I see. That's, and you know, we're kind of a day ahead of things, because you said you thought it was Sunday, but it's actually Tuesday, and
you probably should be doing this tomorrow,
but that's okay.
Well, see, I'm a Christian, so every day is a prayer day for me.
Well, there you go. I'm thoroughly convinced. The reason he had to talk in little tiny story, let's talk about a seed, or let's talk about a guy sends some workers out in the morning and they get some workers, and he was telling stories to morons.
Right.
He was telling stories to people who had not the first, who he knew. By virtue of having a keen understanding of human nature, he knew that they weren't going to get it.
Right.
You know, the criticism of the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sanhedrin, you know, he saw what had become a corrupted faith.
Yeah.
Just as, you know, a few hundred years later, you know, give a millennium or so, Martin Luther is standing there in Germany watching Roman Catholic priests sell indulgences and going, no, this ain't it. Now, Martin Luther had his own problems, a certain willingness to commit murder. But, you know, welcome to the religion industry.
Anti-Semitism.
Oh, gosh, yes. But the point being that, you know, people have the ability to recognize official authoritarian corruption. And when they call it and when they call the corruption out, generally they get stomped.
Yeah.
Or nailed to something, as the case may be.
And it's still going on.
Yeah, and it is still going on, and that's why I say that if you know, the clouds, you know, because they're all expecting this apocalyptic vision with the clouds parting and the horns blowing and the heavenly host singing glory to God in the highest, yada yada yada. That's the chorus, yada yada yada. And then there appears this little dark skinned man in shabby robes.
Yeah.
And crappy sandals, who says, I love you, and all the conservative critics, no, you're not, you're clearly the Antichrist.
And he rides the donkey.
Yeah, our Antichrist, our real Christ is coming. He's blonde-haired, he's got blue eyes, he looks a lot like the pictures of Apollo from ancient Greek mythology. That's the one we're waiting for. Kill that one!
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, and I've just had my the pronunciation of Sanhedrin corrected by our resident
Really?
Yeah, see,
the Sanhedrin?
Yeah, it's the Sanhedrin.
Okay.
But see, I'm a recovering Southern Baptist, and I grew up, and every minister I ever heard opining from the pulpit said Sanhedrin. So yeah. So, but it's Sanhedrin, like rhymes with Excedrin.
Don't you think, Bob, that knowing the church as you do, and as I do, the ones, especially the white man's church, John the Baptist or Jesus or any of those had walked in, let's say, they could have their dress, you know, for one thing, you know, and then they opened the mouth and said something. No, we can't have that. And, you know, it was the same that day. They said that he told them they had killed the prophets, and they said, no, we wouldn't do that. If they came now, we wouldn't do that. But, yeah, they would. They'd kill one greater than the prophets. But it'd be the same way today.
Right.
I've been in church. I remember going to a funeral. This young boy had died of cancer, and he had a friend. He worked on motorcycles, and he had a friend of Bucker came to his funeral. And people say, what's he doing here? You know, I mean, he had long hair. He was clean, you know. But what's he doing here? And well, he came to his friend's funeral.
He does not, for he haveth not on godly raiment.
I was going to go and speak to him, but something happened where I was taken away, so I guess I wasn't supposed to do it. But so I was going to talk to him, you know, about it. But yeah, so it's just like having a separation of the churches. I mean, isn't that ridiculous?
Yes.
It's just crazy. And yet I know that if you go, now, there are a lot of people that don't trust the white people. I don't blame them, you know, but at all. But most of the time you could go to a black church and they will welcome you with open arms.
Sure.
They treat you so, I mean, they're not going to not welcome you. I mean, some of them are not going to speak to you because they've been through a lot of things.
Well, you know, I've got a.
Especially some somebody with a southern accent.
I've got an email here from our buddy Tosh, talking about my comments, you know, the story last night about the weirdos chasing Carl Levin while screaming the Pledge of Allegiance at the top of their lungs. Yeah. Which is just surreal in the extreme. It's like it's like Dadaist surreal. It's just, you know, the melting clocks and Salvador Dali surreal. But Tosh writes in and he says, Pledge of Allegiance. The reason that's because they revere the flag and Pledge of Allegiance, but not the documents these symbols represent. Perhaps in that they are like the religion industry, revering the symbols, but not the corresponding realities.
Yeah. Yeah.
The toaster time for Tosh.
Yeah. Somebody wrote in yesterday, and I think it was it David from Tennessee that said that those were the slaves doing what their slave owners wanted them to, only they didn't know they were slaves.
No, that was our buddy Marty.
Marty.
Yeah.
That was so true.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I was listening to Albert. I didn't get to hear all the show, but I was listening to Albert, and he gives me courage to, you know, he really does, because he can... I'm kind of going to be on his side about things are going to get better. I mean, you have to believe that. But anyway, I like what he said about them building their ark with particle board.
Yeah, no gopher wood for them.
It made me think about, to write a song about Albert says, and talk about don't get on the ark boat, you're just going to turn into flakes, and it's going to get in the water, and it's going to go into flakes. You can't stand on a flake. You might can stand on a piece of wood.
Built of flakes by flakes. There you go. Built of flakes by flakes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, you remind me of something. Our buddy Dennis sent this along, and this is something that's been floating around on the Internet for a million years, and it's a little bit tawdry. But there's some truth in this that I think sort of speaks to what you're getting at. This is one of the oldest funnies, I think, that's been going around on the Internet. And it claims the following is an actual question given on University of Washington chemistry midterm. And of course, it's all Snopes'd out, but it's been going, but it's cute. The answer by one student was so profound that the professor shared it with colleagues via the Internet, which is, of course, why we now have the pleasure of enjoying it as well. And the chemistry midterm bonus question is, hell exothermic, gives off heat, or endothermic, absorbs heat? And most everybody's seen this by now. Most of the students wrote proofs of their beliefs using Boyle's law, gas cools when it expands and heats when it's compressed, or some variant thereof. One student, however, wrote the following. First, we need to know how the mass of hell is changing in time. So we need to know the rate at which souls are moving into hell and the rate at which they are leaving. I think that we can safely assume that once a soul gets to hell, it will not leave, therefore no souls are leaving. As for how many souls are entering hell, let's look at the different religions that exist in the world today, and this is the part that matters.
Mm-hmm.
Most of these religions state that if you are not a member of their religion, you will go to hell. Since there is more than one of these religions, and since people that do not belong to more than one, and since people do not belong to more than one religion, we can project that all souls go to hell. With birth and death rates as they are, we can expect the number of souls in hell to increase exponentially. Now we look at the rate of change of the volume in hell, because of Boyle's law states that in order for the temperature and pressure in hell to stay the same, the volume of hell has to expand proportionately as souls are added. This gives two possibilities. If hell is expanding at a slower rate than the rate at which souls enter hell, then the temperature and pressure in hell will increase until all hell breaks loose. If hell is expanding at a rate faster than the increase of souls in hell, then the temperature and pressure will drop until hell freezes over. but there's a kernel in there,
mm-hmm.
You know, and it's been pointed out by other people, and usually very, very funny people, who note that virtually every religion on earth says that if you don't believe their way, you're a gonna cook.
Yeah.
So that means that, you know, your odds are one in heaven only knows what. And at that point, it's a crapshoot.
Yeah.
And so therefore it means that most, you know, that all of them, you know, everybody's all busy sending everybody else to hell.
Mm-hmm.
And pointing out that theirs is the only way to heaven.
Yeah.
And the fact of the matter is, inside the Republican Party, that, you know, that they've got a big tent for the religion industry. Yeah, you can be Reformed Baptist, or you could be Missionary Baptist, or you can be Free Will Baptist, or Southern Baptist, or American Baptist. You can be Church of Christ. You can be Methodist. You can be Southern Presbyterian, Northern Presbyterian. You can be, but the thing that they never do is they manage to never get them worked up enough to where they're looking at each other going, no, you're the one who's going to roast. But they all have tenets of their faith that says everybody else is.
Yeah, that's true.
But they're willing to use them all for their shock troops in the culture wars.
Oh, yeah. Well, look at Moon.
Yeah.
You know, he bailed out to... Jerry Falwell.
Yes, he did.
Tons of money.
And you know what? I have told that to... I have shown the proof to graduates of Jerry Falwell University. You know, those things, those ugly little things that we call facts.
I don't believe you.
It never happened. Jerry Falwell was a holy man. He wouldn't have done nothing like that. Not with that crazy Moon.
And then you say,
what about James Robison? James Robison got bailed out by Moon, too. No, he did not. You're just the devil's making you talk that way.
I didn't know that about him, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Oh, yeah, James Robison just sucked right up against Reverend Moon.
And I've got a clip where, you know, the Bushes were right there.
Oh, yeah, the Bushes love the Reverend Moon.
Party, and you know who was hosting?
Who?
Pat Boone. And he gets up and he said, Mr. Moon, I'm Mr. Boone. Now listen. And that man, his purpose, he's supposed to be doing what Jesus didn't do.
Right, because he's declared that Jesus was a failure.
The country, huh?
Yeah, he's declared that Jesus was a failure.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's a common theme that runs through these religious goons, saying, oh, you know, Jesus, he tried, but he didn't get it quite right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because
the other night.
Well, remember the guy who founded and I can't remember his name right offhand. The guy who founded the family back in 1935.
Oh, the one that had the flirty fishing.
Did he?
The family. Oh, okay.
I can't remember his name, but 1935, he had a new revelation.
Uh-huh.
In which God told him that Jesus got it wrong, and no, I love the rich people best.
Oh, well, that is the way, ain't it? That is what they teach, that he loves the rich people.
Jesus loves the little rich folks, all the rich folks of the world. Millionaires and billionaires and trillionaires alike, Jesus loves the rich folks of the world.
A good one,
oh, where did that come from, Juanita? I'm sorry, I subjected you to that.
Jesus loves the little children.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. That's fine. I agree.
Yeah, that's okay. I remember back in 2003 when I was walking around singing, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the oil of Iraq.
The oil of, yeah. Yeah. Oh, I'll tell you.
I know. I know. Sorry, I didn't mean to run you off down the garden path like that. But yeah, Juanita, I'm gonna roll on here, but there's John Fox. Oh, I gotta have this for a promo.
That's John Barton. What's his name? John Bolton.
Oh, yeah, Michael John Porn Stash Bolton. That's the only way I can remember.
Yeah, ain't he a pretty thing?
Woo!
You know, when I saw him when they were...
You could sweep up a gym floor with that mustache, you know that?
Yeah, when they were questioning him about becoming, you know, what he became when Bush was in power, was in the job. And his wife looked to me, I thought, that woman is so sad. Can you imagine being married to that man? Ugh.
No, but you just tried to make me, and I don't appreciate it.
Well, you know how he treated women that he worked with.
So. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's a full-on misogynistic, you know, bastard.
Yep. Okay, well, Bob, I'll let you go. Did you get my email about Frankie Lane?
Yes, I did, and I played that for Ferg. And you know what?
Is that the one? Didn't you say he liked him?
Oh, he loved Frankie Lane.
Okay. Yeah. Tell him to go on YouTube. There's a ton of stuff with Frankie Lane.
Okay, I will, and he'll love that.
Over the years, you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, you take care, Juanita.
But that was amazing for 90-something years old.
And, you know, that was shortly before he died.
Yeah. I thought he did doggone good.
He did indeed. And he's still looking pretty good for 92, too.
Yeah. Okay, well, you take care.
All right, take care, Juanita.
Night-night.
Bye now. That's our View correspondent, our friend in Central Florida, that's Juanita, who I suspect knows her Bible probably better than most any gospel sharp, the religion industry minister out there. And the beautiful thing about Juanita is she knows how to make them eat it and smile. And I just love that. Just to finish off real quick, that whole little bit about is hell freezing over or breaking loose. Remember, if hell is expanding at a slower rate than the rate at which its souls enter hell, then the temperature and pressure in hell will increase until all hell breaks loose. Or two, if hell is expanding at a rate faster than the increase of souls in hell, then the temperature and pressure will drop until hell freezes over. So which is it? And the kid in this internet circular says, if we accept the postulate given to me by Teresa during my freshman year that it will be a cold day in hell before I sleep with you, and take into account the fact that I slept with her last night, then number two must be true, and thus I am sure that hell is exothermic and has already frozen over. The corollary of this theory is that since hell has frozen over, it follows that it is not accepting any more souls and is therefore extinct, leaving only heaven, thereby proving the existence of a divine being, which explains why last night Teresa kept shouting, "Oh my God." I just love that. I just love that. I do. Yeah, don't make me sing any more of those hymns that I learned in the basement of the Baptist church with those wonderful, wonderful little old blue-haired ladies. It is the top of the hour. I can't stand to keep anybody on hold, especially not through a long... Oh, okay, you quit. You can try back after the top of the hour if you want to. I didn't get to this tune last night, but I just have to, because it fits so perfectly. We've got Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen and the Green News Report on the way. I always look forward to those. I know you do as well. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. This is The Horn. You know the phone number, 877-443-2366. 877, the numeral 4, head on. On your nickel, 304-658-3333. Lots of great ways to reach the program. Don't be shy. You see how easy it is. We have a grand time around here. Ring it up. Light them up. And let's have a busy little Tuesday. And like I said, in light of it, and you know, we've got more examples of it tonight. These goonies running around, these right-wing goonies, these poor benighted fools, being used by corporate America, and they're little more than a mob. Yeah, this is the live version of the song. It seemed more than appropriate. So we'll see if we can't get through the talkie talk. Here it is. The mob rules.
Something's coming to fall out. Death and darkness, I'm rushing forward to get a fight for the world. With nothing to say, I know they're breaking away. If you listen to fools, the bad rules, the bad rules.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future. The future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
It's Tuesday, August 4, 2009.
The democracy of lobbyists. The forgeries of the coal companies. Plus, will Republicans kill cash for clunkers?
Why not have dollars for drums or payouts for pianos?
Maybe we should have a cash for cluckers program and pay people to eat chicken.
Oh, Republicans, is there nothing you are not against?
I don't know what they have to say. It makes no difference anyway. Whatever it is, I'm against it. No matter what it is or who commenced it, I'm against it.
I'm Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this is your Green News Report. Okay, yeah, they seem to be against everything, don't they, Desi Doyen?
Yes, they do. As you may have heard, the Cash for Clunkers program that we reported on last week was so wildly successful with consumers that it ran out of money in just the first week. The program offered consumers a rebate of up to $4,500 to trade in old gas guzzlers in exchange for new fuel-efficient cars. And response was so overwhelming that the House of Representatives on Friday voted to extend the program by shifting $2 billion in funding from a Department of Energy loan program. It is unclear whether the Senate will agree. It is scheduled to vote this week before adjourning for the August recess.
And of course, the Democrats had originally proposed $4 billion for this, not $1 billion. And I don't know, was it the Republicans who scaled it back so that was too much money when they originally proposed it?
It was Republicans and so-called conservative Democrats who thought that that was just too much money.
Oh, what a shocker.
If the Senate does vote no on extending the program, the administration has said it will be suspended, but all valid deals made until then will be honored. And, of course, surprising absolutely no one, wildly successful has a whole nother meaning for Republicans. Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, a Minnesota Republican, sent a Twitter over the weekend that the popularity of the program proves, quote, the government can't run anything.
Yeah, this was amazing. And it wasn't just Bachmann. It was Rush Limbaugh. It was all of Fox News. It was all the Republicans saying, because it was so successful, this program is clearly not successful.
Right.
And therefore, they shouldn't run health care and everything else. Twisted. Remember, this is the same Republican Party who was lauding Sarah Palin up in Alaska when she gave back money to the consumers that came from the oil industry and so forth. They're doing the exact same thing, really, in this program, plus getting so far 250,000 old gas guzzling cars, polluting cars, off the road.
And permanently.
Yet, permanently, and yet somehow.
That's not a great idea. Yeah.
They're against it.
A scandal is brewing in Congress over reports that a lobbying firm resorted to forgery to try to convince House members to vote against landmark climate legislation a few months ago. Bonner and Associates, a lobbying firm based in D.C., sent at least 12 forged letters to three congressmen pretending to be from civil rights nonprofit groups like the NAACP in a bald attempt to trick them into voting no on clean energy legislation. Now, a House committee is going to hold hearings into the forgery scandal, and progressive groups are calling on the Justice Department to investigate the lobby shops for wire fraud.
Well, let me get this straight then. You're saying a PR group sent these letters. They were forgeries. They made them seem like they were from civil rights groups. Who was paying the PR companies?
Well, it turns out to be the American Coalition for Clean Coal Electricity.
They were paying for forgeries.
Yes, the clean coal people admitted yesterday in a statement that Bonner and Associates was working as a subcontractor for their PR grassroots outreach campaign. And they expressed outrage and apologized, according to thinkprogress.org. Now, today...
Really? Did they know?
Today, Greenwire reports that the Clean Coal Group has known about the forged letters for over a month.
So they knew, they did nothing. Did they ask for these forgeries? Was this their idea, or was
this
the Bonner
and
Associates?
They say that they had no idea that this was entirely the problem of some temp that was working at Bonner and Associates, did this on their own initiative, that they had no idea this was going on, although they had been told a month ago that these forged letters had been sent out, and they said they thought the problem had been dealt with internally.
Oh, I see. This is incredible. Who's going to jail for this, Desi Doyen?
Well, we don't know, because right now, apparently, it's not directly against the law, unless the Justice Department decides to prosecute via wire fraud, because these were sent via electronic fax machine.
So it would be wire fraud. So you're saying forgery in and of itself is not?
Well, there's a specific law against depriving groups of honest representation of their services. So by pretending to be from these nonprofit groups, they are then depriving them of their the integrity of their reputation.
Somebody better go to jail. It's time for some damn person in D.C. to go to jail with all this crap that's going on.
Now, every corporation spent more money lobbying Congress on energy issues in the last year, but dirty energy companies spent more, according to Bloomberg News. During the first half of this year alone, ExxonMobil alone spent more money on lobbying than all clean energy companies combined. Let me say that again. ExxonMobil by themselves spent more money on lobbying than all clean energy companies all combined together.
Color me stunned. It is the year of the lobbyists, the fake corporate grassroots, astroturf groups. This is getting worse and worse. Read about much more of this at our website, greennews.bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report. Take us home, Groucho.
Your proposition may be good, but let's have one thing understood. Whatever it is, I am against it. And even when you've changed it or condensed it, I'm against it.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance, and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
You most assuredly are. This is, of course, the Horn, the home of conversation radio, discussion, dialogue, and a heck of a lot of fun. Indeed. Let's do go straightway to the phone. Like I said, I hate to keep people waiting. Light up some lights if you want to. I welcome the opportunity to converse. And I hope you will not hesitate to avail yourself of that opportunity. You know, this is being conversation radio. This is caller-driven radio. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi there.
Hey, Susan.
I've got a couple things.
Yes.
Listening to the newscast, When are we going to get around to naming these stunts for what they are?
Frauds?
Dirty tricks?
Yeah, the Nixon administration had a name for them that I don't even like to use on the air. It involves the word rat and something that rhymes with pluck.
Yeah.
And that's what they are.
Why don't we start using it? Why don't we start using the names out of Tricky Dixie's lexicon?
Yeah.
Why not? That's what.
Well, I mean, they invented them.
Yeah. Makes sense. Now, the thing that made me call is you mentioned that kid who was who'd been captured by the Taliban.
Right.
And these right-wing freaks who are busily calling for his death.
Which just astonishes me.
Well, what it does is infuriate me, because from this point on, guys in the right wing, the next person who brings up Jane Fonda is going to get punched.
Do you want to just elaborate on that a little bit?
Jane Fonda. Okay, how many times did they start yapping about Hanoi Jane?
Oh, in no...
The bedding... Yeah, ad nauseum. Okay, how many... Jane Fonda never once called for the Taliban to actually kill, or for the enemy to actually kill an American soldier. Not once. She said, stop the bombing.
Yeah, which was in parts, at least, you know, the Cambodia and Laos parts, illegal in the first place. But, you know, who's counting?
Which was illegal to begin with. But she never once said, kill the Americans. No. That was left to the right-wingers. So don't you ever, you right-wingers, ever bring up Jane Fonda to me again. Or I'm going to get mad and I'm going to punch you.
And they don't want to get punched. Because they're cowards. I mean, we, yeah.
I'm a fat old lady, but I'm. I was born a redhead, Scotch German extraction. I'm pissed.
And justifiably so.
Okay, now here's my other thing. The Blue Dogs, the wonderful Blue Dogs.
Yeah.
Okay, now, this may or may not, this is probably not complete information, but up in the featured section on the main page of the head-on website, there is a little goodie about traitors.
Mm-hmm.
And if you, you know, it says contact the traitors. It's in the a little blue dog, and he's peeing all over healthcare. And if you click on that post, there is a list. Names, phone numbers, and email addresses. Call them. Email them. Fill up their email box. Let them know what's going to happen to them electorally if they wreck up our health care.
Yeah, you gotta wonder. On the one hand, the little willing tools, the little cannon fodder creepies of the right wing are willing to be used by corporate America to make sure that nobody can go to the doctor when they're sick.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, you know, what you're advocating that we just peacefully let the Blue Dogs know that, you know, something wicked this way comes if they screw us.
Let them know you ain't going to vote for them.
You know, we're not talking about running after them, screaming the Pledge of Allegiance, or singing the Nearer My God to Thee, or anything like that. Just
you're
using
gonna
politics.
You're going to fund primary challenges. You're going to fund primary challenges. And the neat thing is, these email addresses are not, the, as far as I can tell, they're not that web form. So?
Yeah, extrapolate, please.
Okay, most, you know, in order to email most of the time you have to get hold of a member of Congress, They have a private email address, and they have a public one, which is that web form, which means they have you have to have the zip code, or it won't accept you of the district. Now, these appear to be the private email addresses.
Okay.
So, that means they'll go straight through.
Wow. Are you sure?
Well, I've sent one, and it hasn't bounced.
Wow.
I didn't get the form.
Huh.
No, it's all, I'm, so, yeah, what can it hurt? The most you can do is say, please. Oh, and one other thing, people. There is a guy in Texas, and, you know, let's face it, Dr. Rick is always saying, no, let's not pick on Texas. Here's something we should talk about with Texas. There is a representative in Texas. His name is Lloyd Doggett. He has endured at least two of these screaming matches from the Freepers, and he says, the more you scream, the more interested I am in the option. Give his office a call in Austin if you have unlimited long distance and say, way to go, guy. Good deal. Thank you. I know I did. They were rather grateful to hear from somebody from Oregon saying, good for you. Just call him up. Call up his office and say thank you. If you can spare the money, say, when election time rolls around, I'm going to send you a few bucks.
And you know what? I don't. And I said this last night. I don't know what Doggett's voting record is. Have you learned any more about the what kind of Democrat he is?
I don't know, but I do know that he's still standing up against these Freepers, and he's still more than ever committed to the public option. I could kiss him.
At this point, you know, forgive me, I'm still suspicious of the public option, but I'm less suspicious of the public option than I am of anything that Ben Nelson or Max Baucus is talking about. And you know, if you're gonna take that hopeful approach that Albert was justifiably promoting last night, you know, maybe it is the first step towards single payer.
Yeah, but you know, and at the very least, we can say to these guys, "Hey, you done good," because these people are standing up. You know, these people are standing up against
thugs.
Incredible pressure.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they are.
And they deserve to be thanked for it.
Yeah, and you know what? I am one of those funny people who calls and says thank you when people do right. I'm glad to hear that you do the same thing.
Yeah, his staffer seemed rather surprised when I said I was Oregon and calling from Oregon. I wanted to thank him.
Little gut slows goes a long way.
Yep.
So good. And wouldn't happen to have the phone number handy, would you?
Well, just a moment, and I can get it real quick. Real quick like a bunny. Okay, let's see.
I mean, I'm sure it's there for the finding if you just look up his congressional homepage. It's his last name is Doggett, D-O-G-G-E-T-T, is it?
Yeah, I've almost got it. Okay. It is at, okay, his Texas phone number, since the house is in recess, is 512-916-5921. He also has an 800 number.
Let's keep it. Nah, let's keep his money down. Remember, he's got to run for re-election.
Yeah, that's true.
But you know, people can reach him and can thank him for standing up and being, you know, because you know, standing up in front of a lynch mob, it takes a considerable storehouse of courage.
Yeah, he's done it twice. He's been hit twice, at least. Let's face it, you know the amount of creepers are in Texas.
Oh, Lord, yes.
I love you, Dr. Rick, but there are a huge amount of nutzoids.
Well, but you know, Rick recognizes that.
Yeah. Which is why he makes such a good living doing what he does.
Oh, mercy. Well, good to hear from you. Good to hear from you, and I'm glad you're out there being, you know, just showing a little love. Yeah, it's by the way, it's Doggett, Doggett, .house.gov.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 512-916-5921. And what the Doggett office says is every American will have the choice to receive coverage from his or her employer or seek coverage through the health insurance exchange. Within the exchange, a person has the ability to choose a public option, which is what I think that, yeah.
Yeah. So, sounds like he's on the side of the angels. And if you're in the process of making phone calls to other states, call up Senator Ron Wyden of Oregon and tell him to get on the stick for public option. Right now he's trying to get people to go for his own little plan, which is basically co-op, which means it's a gigantic bailout for the insurance company. He is a shill for Big Pharma. Call him. Please do.
Indeed.
I'm not happy with him. I won't be voting for him, and I will be working against him in the primaries. Our other senator, Senator Merkley, he wants single payer.
And he's right.
Well, yeah, of course he's right.
I mean, this is...
If he can't have single payer, he wants the public option, and he ain't settling for anything less.
Right. But that's the frustrating thing, though, Susan. There is so much arrayed against us. This was part of the conversation with Sandra last night. Every delay...
Yep.
Well, you know, it's like the old saying, you know, justice delayed is justice denied. And that's what this is. And right now, the insurance companies are, you know, and that calls into usage the phrase that our pal Lorella uses when she says delay, fail.
Yeah. Well, I look at it this way. One of my biggest complaints against the Democrats during the Bush era wasn't that they lost votes. It was that they refused to fight. I expected them to lose. They didn't have the votes. What I expected them to do was go down swinging. And they didn't even bother to try that. I will go down swinging.
Hear, hear. Hear, hear. Well, keep after him. And I'm glad... And that's all, because I refuse to be part of a mob that chases someone while screaming the Star Spangled Banner or America the Beautiful or row, row, row your boat.
Yeah.
I just won't do it.
You mean you don't want to sing for these people, Bob?
It's bad enough what I did to people last hour.
I could get my sister to sing to them. She can't. She tends to crack glass. She's got one of those voices. She calls me every day, every year on my birthday, and I go, oh, God. She's one of those family joke. anyway, but, you know, I may go down, but I'll go down swinging. Yeah, it's...
Reminds me of the line from that song. Who sings it? Dido, White Flag. I will go down with this ship. Yeah.
I don't know.
Stand there screaming as the water bubbles up over our chins. But maybe the water won't bubble up over our chins. Maybe we can guide the, we can guide this foundering boat to dry land.
Mm-hmm. And if it does, you will have me calling you up and screaming, the age of miracles has not passed.
Right. And there will be pigs in the treetops come morning.
Yep.
Yeah. Susan, have a wonderful evening.
You too.
All right. Take care.
Give my love to Agnes.
Sure will. And hey to Donald.
Bye-bye.
Bye. News Ninja Susan calling from Columbia City, Oregon. Tirelessly out there dialing the phone and, saying thank you to the people who get it right and, hey, go to hell to the people who, don't. So, moving on, and yeah, you know the phone number, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on, 304. 658-3333, email in from Joe Ray. He says, hi, Bob, referring back to our conversation with Juanita. I know a great book about the life of Jesus before he became famous, Lamb, the Gospel According to Biff, Jesus Christ's childhood friend. He says it's very funny. And, you know, I hadn't thought about that book in years, but I read that several years ago, and it is, it... That's a dandy Sunday afternoon read. Lamb. Look it up. Get a hold of it. I think we've got some sort of a portal to a bookstore somewhere on the website. When you go to order, use our portal. We'll get 0.005% of the sales price. You know, but it helps. It helps. I don't know what the exact rate is. But if you've got to order books, we do have a portal. And it would be helpful if you used it. God, I'm looking at this picture of Bill Clinton and Kim Jong Il, and honest to God, it looks like American Gothic without the pitchfork and the framed Victorian house in the background. But anyway, never mind that. Oh no, we'll save that for tomorrow night. Hold on. Oh, I know. Now, I was going to tell you that, there is more mob behavior out there. You need to, listen, there's an element of this. All I can say is, if we sit back as liberals, progressives, decent people, what have you, and we say, oh, those funny Republicans, oh, goodness gracious. No, there's nothing funny about them. Steve Kagan, a Democrat from Wisconsin, went home. He had a town hall meeting where the Wisconsin chapter of Americans for Prosperity was in attendance. And instead of chanting the Pledge of Allegiance or reciting God Bless America or the Itsy Bitsy Spider, you know, whatever these insane people are doing. At this point, the wingnuts in Wisconsin are just down to shrieking.
Good evening. evening, everyone. A listening session on reforming the health insurance system turned into a shouting session in Green Bay tonight.
Hundreds of people were turned away at the event at the Brown County Library. The reason? There wasn't enough room. But those who did get in gave Congressman Steve Kagan an earful. Fox 11's Robert Hornacek joins us now live from downtown Green Bay with multiple views.
Well, Michelle, this listening session is just supposed to wrap up in the next few minutes, but there hasn't been too much listening going on here at the Brown County Library tonight. Literally hundreds and hundreds of people came out here tonight. Most of them came to tell their congressman to keep the government out of their health care.
An angry crowd greeted Democratic Congressman Steve Kagan inside the auditorium of the Brown County Library. Most of the 300 people inside came to voice their strong opposition to the health care reform being talked about in Congress.
No government, it's all of us! No!
Outside, hundreds of other people gathered. They were frustrated they could not get in because of the huge turnout.
How can we be represented in a situation like this?
He's not really representing the people.
Dennis Felt from Green Bay said he came to have his voice heard.
How in the world can we possibly cover all the costs that's going to be involved with this?
Some in the crowd do support health care reform, like Audrey Hansen.
And I'm sick and tired of hearing all the negative comments and the scare tactics and all that sort of thing.
Kagan's staff was surprised by the turnout and tried to calm the crowd before the event. Kagan said he knows everyone is not on board with health care reform, but he's hoping to find common ground.
This conversation we're having with the people here is all about how we're going to work together to improve our system.
What makes you better qualified to be here?
On this night, the conversation was pretty one-sided. And that common ground appeared way out of reach.
Now, Congressman Kagan did promise all the people here tonight that he...
Now, you see, this is what we're up against. Shrieking goons. You can't have... They don't want a discussion. They don't want a debate. They want to shout... This is no different than their conduct during the height of the Bush years, when they were screaming and shrieking to kill more brown people. Right-wingers cannot carry on a cogent discussion. They can't do what we do and evaluate facts and hold them in the balance and such and try to determine right from wrong. They can only take orders. They can only respond to authority telling them what to think. That is what makes them so scary. That is why they are the proto-fascist movement in the United States. And it goes on and on. That was Wisconsin. Steve Driehaus in Ohio tried to have a meeting of his own.
Mark, would they even let us in?
Of course not.
Hey, guys,
can we
turn the
down there?
Okay.
Down by Reading Road as well?
Okay. I'm going to call the Inquirer and tell
them
to come here.
This is video outside a meeting place.
No, they won't. They call the police.
They're just milling around and waiting for the meeting to begin. And hopefully I can... Here, let's move it forward a little bit. Here we go.
He will speak to the Tea Party. We're going to call him on that tomorrow and try to schedule an event. Hopefully that will occur. That said, we're here and we will be heard. So I'd like us to go around the corner so there's no question that the Tea Party, the 912, and other conservative groups are represented. So those of you who are here, please go to the corner.
And by the way, this is a youngish guy from corporate Washington.
Now swing the tail!
This is... I don't know what to say, but the fact that the brown shirts and the black shirts are marching, and they have their bundle of Fosques, okay? It's old, it's young, it is uniformly white. These are Klan rallies without the hoods. This is, but anyway, by the end of the video, the teabaggers are screaming at Congressman Drehaus, help me, it's confusingly German, D-R-I-E-H-A-U-S. He says, I know that there are those with the Tea Party group, and I welcome you, and I welcome them to my office. You know, holding out that, extending that olive branch again and again. And, of course, metaphorically speaking, he draws back a bloody stump. As the shrieking mob begins howling and screaming and hollering, move to Europe! Move to Europe! Move to Europe! No. No. Because we'd like to fix the stuff that you freaks broke in America. So why don't you move to the moon and breathe vacuum? God damn these people, see? I did not take the Lord's name in vain there. I wish that great big gray-headed bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky would just drop a rock on all of them. But you know how it goes, wish in one hand and the other one, see which one fills up first. Move to Europe! Move to Mars. Let's go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Kevin.
Kevin from Brooklyn. You know, the more I listen to those people, the more now I'm starting to wish states' rights, real states' rights.
In what regard?
Give them, let them secede. If Texas wants to secede, let them go. If Alabama, Mississippi want to secede, let them go.
You know, this discussion has been had before, Kevin. Not necessarily between you and me, but this discussion's been had before. About 150 years ago.
Yeah, but I think now, hey, it wasn't worth it. You know, Gettysburg wasn't worth it. You can go.
You know that, and that brings up a thought, Kevin. We think that it's settled law about secession.
Yeah.
And that little dust up between 1860 and 1865 was what settled it. But have we ever, has anybody ever taken brain to book on whether you can throw somebody out of the United States? Throw a state out? Never mind them wanting to succeed. Does the United States have the right to throw out Texas, Mississippi, Alabama?
North Florida.
I don't know the answer to that.
I say, you know what, hey, let the voters decide. And I'm willing to bet you 100% because they're all a bunch of sniveling cowards. They will not want to.
Now, I do know this. It's kind of antiquated, but within the Constitution, if one group holds a two-thirds majority, because it takes a two-thirds majority vote, If we had two-thirds honest to God, real live Democrats with spines, do you know what we could do?
Yeah.
If we had a two-thirds majority in both houses, we could, not in both houses. If there's two-thirds in the House, that by a two-thirds vote, they can throw out every remaining Republican in the House.
Oh, yeah.
Same in the Senate.
But I am now forced to session in state rights. And you know what?
It doesn't feel real good thinking that, does it?
No, because you know what? They are bringing the country down, you know, to the point where it's like, oh, it's like they've already sold out to the corporations. The corporations are loving them, so they can do whatever they want, you know. We give them how many billions of dollars to bail out, and they're still putting jobs up in China and God knows where else. So, you know, let those southern states secede from the Union. You know, I really couldn't care less, you know. Think about it. Texas leaves. Will we really miss it? If Alaska seceded, will we?
No, but they would immediately go. They would immediately go to war with Mexico.
Texas?
Yeah.
Well, you know, Mexicans are probably decent, you know. Because don't forget, half of Texas is Mexican-American. Or at least a third of their population.
Or it's quite possible Texas would go to war with New Mexico. No, they'd go to war with Louisiana. Maybe Arkansas. Certainly Oklahoma.
Or they may just have a civil war on themselves. So. Oh, that would be nice. Because I love it three ways of taking a fine squad, especially when Republicans screw their Republicans.
Well, I'd like I just had a note from News Ninja Gene, who is all for the idea of letting them secede, and he's also fond of the idea of throwing them out.
Oh, no, I'm not letting them secede, because if we throw them out, they're going to complain how, you know, because I'm telling you, I've been doing some research on Calvinism, you know, John Calvin.
Yeah.
And a lot of us have a group in that. And it is the philosophy of victimization, cowardice, and strike like thunderball when you lose respect. Don't forget, you know, we celebrate the Pilgrims and the Mayflower and how, you know, they were oppressed in England and all that. 50 years later, they overran Parliament and basically had a military dictatorship, a religious theocracy.
No, for a while, yeah, you mean the Cromwell and, yeah. Yeah, not exactly, England's finest hour.
Exactly. You know, and that's what they're very good at. First, they claim themselves to be the victim, and then all of a sudden they're your oppressor. And they're very good at that.
Well, remember, the Pilgrims came to Massachusetts having been religiously oppressed.
Yeah.
And then bang, next thing you know.
Pequot Wars.
Yeah. So. And it's not just that. They oppressed everyone that they could get their hands on.
It's a long tradition in the Puritanical.
To the point that it got so bad in Massachusetts that at one point a law was passed stating that if you were a minister, a preacher, a pastor, any sort of church official, you were banned from holding office. If you can imagine. Mm-hmm. But theocracy is theocracy.
And they're very good at claiming victimhood and then turning around and striking you in the back.
So, you know, I mean, I had this conversation with Agnes the other day, Kevin. Again, and it's not prophecy and it's not magic, but I personally believe that within a time frame of less than 500 years.
Yeah.
You will see that there will be no more United States. I could very well imagine the Washington, Oregon, California, maybe Arizona, splitting away and being their own nation. Lord knows, Alabama, Georgia, Mississippi, Tennessee, the Carolinas, Louisiana, the old Confederacy finally being its own nation. And especially if, as is the pendulous nature of American politics, especially if the Republicans get power again a few times more. Because what happens, I think, inside the American political experience is that every time the Republicans get power, they break the country a little bit more so that there's a little bit more to fix the next time the Democrats come to power, and then the Democrats can't fix it because the Republicans will fight back. You know, they're not this wishy-washy bunch of milksops that we get for leadership in the Congress. And so every time a Democrat leaves office or every time power changes hands, there's a little more that didn't get fixed. And so the Republicans then break a little bit more until it becomes absolutely impossible to fix what's broken.
Oh, yeah. Well, the problem is, you know, and again, this is why we need to have a fascist streaking up, and maybe in starting phone re-education camps. It may be enough. You know, when you look at the history of Cuba and China, when they got rid of their right wing, because the thing where re-education camps might have been a necessary evil.
Well, I know you say that halfway tongue in cheek, but I understand the sentiment that drives it. Because, among other things, in response to all of this manifest nastiness that these teabagging horses' rear ends have been up to, here's what we get from Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid. You want to hear what he said about it all?
What?
He said, in spite of the loud, shrill voices trying to interrupt town hall meetings and just throw a monkey wrench into everything, we're going to continue to be positive and work hard. By God, that'd put the fear of the Almighty in me if I was some Republican, wouldn't it, you pilgrim?
Yeah. I tell you, I wish I could dig Lyndon Baines Johnson's old bones out of the grave, man. If anything, he was a damn good majority leader.
Well, he was that, and he knew how to get what he wanted. Even if what he wanted wasn't necessarily good sometimes. You gotta remember that Johnson basically gave birth to Halliburton and via having birthed, Kellogg, Brown, and Root. Or Brown and Root.
Well, he's a peck. Well, you know, you gotta give that.
Yeah.
I don't know what they put in the water down there, but.
Yeah, but we're going to continue to be positive and work hard.
And here's from the matter. You figure he may have a pair being from Nevada.
No. He got it all out of it. You know, he had a real tough childhood growing up, the Harry Reid. And you get the idea that he spent it all in those years when he was like a Golden Gloves boxer or some such. Oh, here I am being told, let's not pollute the moon as well, Bob. Well, we gotta send them somewhere. They got it. No, they're just gonna stay right here and. But see, this is that whole over their dead body kind of thing. And they'll stop it. Well, they know that they have the corporate power behind them to stop it.
Yeah.
Unless and until the Democratic majority figures out what that means, you know, majority.
Oh, yeah. Well, the thing is, you know, the majority, and this is the thing, Democrats are very sensitive people. And this is their problem, you know. Yeah, we're a majority, and we should act like a majority, but then the Republicans will say we're dictators, and then our feelings are going to get hurt.
Yeah, because we hate it when we're
We don't like, you know, we don't like it when our feelings get hurt and they say mean things about
us. And, you know, I've learned how to deal with the Republican mindset on a personal level. You know, we won't go there.
Yeah. But you know that old phrase attributed to that old saying attributed to Harry Truman. You know, they called him "Give 'em Hell, Harry."
Yeah.
And that came from somebody hollering, "Give 'em Hell, Harry."
Yeah.
And he responded, "I don't give 'em hell. I just give 'em the truth, and they think it's hell."
Yeah, exactly.
But we don't have anybody capable of that in this country. Or if they are in the political process, and if they are in the Congress, or you know the House or the Senate, then they are so far buried and away from the actual the leveraging of power that they can't give anything hell.
Yeah. Well, you know, the only one who's capable of doing it, and he can't really do so much, is Kucinich.
You know, Weiner from New York did a brilliant thing the other day. You know, come on, you miserable hypocrites. Here's your chance. This is what you want. You hate this. Vote against it, you SOBs. But how many times was that covered on the CBS Evening News, ABC World News Tonight, or NBC News with Brian Williams?
Yeah. But that miserable witch, Eminem, could be on The View yesterday spewing her nonsense.
Yeah.
So every house brow could become indoctrinated.
Do you see what we're up against?
You know, I'm sorry to say, you know, and it's like, it amazes me, you know, because I'm just now starting to recover from living outside of New York, and it just never ceases to amaze me. Even my little foray into Washington, I just kind of got like, you know, a flashback, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, post-traumatic flashback. You know, just leaving outside of New York. You know, like I said, in New York, you're very much insulated from a lot of this stuff. Yeah, not to say that racism doesn't happen, but...
Oh, well, I got to tell you, we've had issue taken with with my assessment of that new nation 500 years down the road comprised of the old Confederacy.
Oh, that's going to happen a lot sooner.
No, our buddy David says, no, damn it! Tennessee will join Kentucky, maybe Virginia, anything north or east or west. Tennessee will not go south again, not this time.
So it's its own republic, or?
Well, no. Join up with Virginia or Kentucky, which, you know, actually does make more sense. You know, maybe North Carolina, but no, not getting sucked down into the swamps of Mississippi and Alabama again. Yeah, there's a lot of good old Tennessee boys laying in Mississippi and Alabama and Georgia and South Carolina and yes, even Virginia. But that's the story of the war between the states. Because you know, it was poor people fighting to keep people even poorer than them poorer. You know, God, it's so sickening.
It's like the poor cannibalizing itself.
Yeah. That's exactly what it is.
You know, but, again, I just have to be in awe with a lot of the mentality of Red State of America. You know, there needs to be like Sandra said, there needs to be a National Geographic article on these people.
God, I felt bad about saying that, but yes. Yeah.
I, you know, and it's not just confined to white people either. You know, there are a lot of black red staters. Black people, American blacks can be a very conservative group.
Oh, we learned that with Proposition Hate, didn't we?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because last, and Mike Malloy and I had this discussion a couple nights ago, if you heard, the most discrimination I ever received probably when I was on that side was from my fellow black folks.
And because most, you know, most issues, Lord knows the Democratic Party counts on the African American community.
Yeah. Well, you see, the thing is, it's not just a race thing. Also, it's a regional thing. Okay. And I think that was my experience. And at times, even I get the two blurred. It wasn't mainly, you know, it's a combination of race, ethnicity, and region.
Which is the more influential?
I think right now it's starting for, honestly, I would say ethnicity and region.
You know, I didn't mention it the other day because I didn't want to, you know, be calling anybody out.
Yeah.
But when I was standing up there on Capitol Hill and saw a bunch of people gathered and cameras, you know, so I'm like a moth to flame. I got to go see what's going on. And standing there, again, it was all men. There were no women standing behind Mike Pence of Indiana as he talked. We must not let the socialist medicine kill our little babies before they're born. And standing there behind them, a bunch of men. And one of them was done up in priestly garb with the collar and the works, but he was an African-American man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you see, the thing is, and this is why I say it, many times, racism in this country is very much a dying issue. Like, in so many ways, and I think the media is trying to hype it up overtly so, like these tea baggers or whatever you want to call it, against who are predominantly white and I guess middle class or Brooks Brothers or whatever. This is this is like, you know that regiment way out, that Confederate regiment way out in West Texas who didn't know the war was over until
we never surrendered.
Exactly, or those Japanese who were in the Philippines. That's what they are.
Nobody's told.
Yeah. So it's kind of like that. I think it's more now about ethnicity and region. Okay. And honestly, even like me, I have to clarify that a lot more in our conversations because I'm guilty of saying, it's about race. Yeah, race, maybe. But to me, it's more about ethnicity and region now, okay? Like I said, I'm going
to... But if that's the case, Kevin, and I'm not necessarily disagreeing with you, I'm just trying to sort this out. If that's the case, then are we to understand that, for instance, the African-American community in California is very insular and very backward, you know, because... Remember, the Southern Christian Leadership Conference... I don't know what the outcome was, but they were threatening to drum out the head of their chapter in Southern California for standing up and saying that the denying rights to gay people is wrong. And they were going to have his ass.
Well, I would say segments of it, and they tend to be very powerful segments. And that's the problem. You know, it's like those who exercise power... You know, they're exercising their power. It tends to be threatened by gay rights, and they're exercising their power.
But how can they, and you know, and I realize we may be beginning to run in circles, Kevin, but how can any straight marriage, black or white, Asian, Latino, be threatened by a couple of guys picking out a China pattern?
Well, that's what I used to debate with. I've had this conversation in Florida, and in the South. And I said, you know, gay marriage, and they looked upon me as if I had two heads. And I said, I thought the only person that could threaten my marriage was me. And my wife, and my ex-wife. Two men in South Beach going to, I don't know, public holding hands is no threat to my marriage.
I can't see where it is. No.
And, you know, but the thing is again, I'm starting to read and watch the film movie at the same time, but more read the book, Midnight of Garden of Good and Evil.
Yeah, and the Kevin Spacey.
And his, you know, I guess for lack of a better term, his lower class lover who was straight on the outside world.
Yeah.
He was played by Jude Law.
Yeah.
And a lot of that runs prevalent in certain parts of this country.
Yeah, sometimes I think that the idea that we... The idea that there are even pockets of enlightened liberalism. Come on. The Henry Louis Gates thing happened in Cambridge, Massachusetts, the home of Harvard, for Christ's sakes. I mean,
yeah.
Please. It don't exist.
Well, hey. You know, there's certain things about Boston or Massachusetts politics. Yeah, you know, in many ways, Massachusetts is like Minnesota. Yeah, they're very liberal, but as long as the only people of color are members of the basketball team, football team, and baseball team. That's the same thing I experienced in Minnesota. They're very progressive. Yeah, when the only people of color was Warren Moon and Kirby Puckett and Prince, yeah. Very progressive.
What a trio. But, yeah. No, you've got a valid point. Indeed you do.
Yeah, and it's like people talk about Denmark and Sweden and all that. And, yeah, and this is why I say...
Are you saying that homogeneous countries are easier to manage?
No, I say people tend to cooperate more with their own kind, to a certain degree.
I got to tell you, that's a real sad commentary on the human condition, Kevin.
We're still very much okay. Because put it this way, for the most part, Sweden doesn't have a race problem like Britain.
Or France,
but. Germany. Or Germany. Okay.
But well, we will. You have mentioned Sweden, so I'm sure that in due time we will hear an on the ground report from Sweden.
Well, the thing is, yes, Sweden has people of color, but the population is minuscule compared to other European countries. And that's the point I'm getting at. Yeah, they do have. You know, diversity in Sweden, but it's nowhere near. It's still an overwhelming majority of people in Sweden.
But could it also be because a country like Sweden does not have the history that a country like we, or for that matter, Great Britain, have? You know,
as far as trying to build an empire.
Well, not just that. As far as having at one point or another treated. People of different appearance as human chattelage.
They did because they used to treat the Celts, you know, the Vikings. Where did they come from?
Yeah, but the Vikings went there.
Yeah.
I don't know that they exported. I don't know if they exported Celtic peoples from Ireland and Scotland back.
They did. Usually that's
I think we're getting close to some sort of a diagnosis, and the question then becomes one of, okay, because you know any following diagnosis you develop the treatment, and what is the treatment? What is the cure?
Well, the thing is, the cure is, and this is. And if there is such a thing as intelligent racism, and this is why I say the racism of Britain I could probably tolerate more, is because as bad as things be in Britain does have a lot of racial issues, they're not going to let it mess with the common interest. And that's one thing you could say about the British working class. There's certain places in certain clubs or pubs in London, you, if you're a person of color, you dare not set your foot in. But those skinheads want their health care, too. And if they have to share it amongst black people or Indians or Pakis or Jews, they're going to gladly do it.
Because they've recognized that there's not a racial aspect to it and that it works.
Exactly.
Yeah. Kevin, I'm going to roll on, but great conversation, brother.
Okay, man. Same here, bro, always.
All right, take care. Bye. Right. Calling from Brooklyn, our buddy Kevin. And just to go back to the mailbag for a minute, going backwards toward the beginning of the program, our buddy David in Tennessee, talking about responding to what I said about the fact that, you know, had Bill Clinton climbed a burning tree and rescued a puppy, a kitty, and a little fuzzy bunny, there would be some neocon conservative or pig-licking horse's ass out there bitching about it. David says, of course the neocons are angry that Bill Clinton went to North Korea and gained the release of two Americans. He did something they could have never done. This is so true. He did it with a visit lasting maybe 4 hours. A visit! Bill just dropped by. Kim Jong-il has begged, stood his head, and launched ineffective missiles for years just so some damn body would drop by the house and do a photo op with his stumpy little ass. So Bill goes. No gunfire. No military. No brinksmanship. No threats from either side. Bill dropped by, took tea, admired his hairpiece, and then the young women were free to go. Kim Jong-il is certainly not in good health, but the photos coming out show a larger and more genuine smile than ever seen on the little guy's mug. Poor lonely little nutters waited for a visit for so long. Insert quip here, read the blind priest played by Gene Hackman in Young Frankenstein, having the monster drop by for espresso and a smoke. But wait, come back. I was going to make espresso. David says, wait and listen. Some neocon gasbag will accuse Bill of hitting on the women on the way home. Oh, God, that just makes me feel dirty. But it's true. It's true. You know, we're gonna have to get David one of those old frayed purple robes with the moon and stars and the fringe on the cuffs, and his very own cracked magic eight ball. 'Cause it's true. 'Cause among other things, there are so godforsaken many of them, and they have to one up each other with outrage day after day, night after night. And it doesn't matter if it's I'm the number three talker in the country. I'm Michael the Savage Wiener. It doesn't matter if it's him. It doesn't matter if it's that sickening voice Janet Parshall, whom I heard for like a nanosecond on Washington, D.C. radio and went, ooh, turn it! It doesn't matter if it's Rush. Or the radio side of Glenn Beck? First tier, second tier, third tier, somebody will say that. Or maybe it'll be said by Dennis Miller on his desperate little radio show where he tries to gin up something to remind people that once upon a time he was funny. Before he sold funny for a paycheck from Fox. Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. It's gonna happen. And it galls the bejesus out of me.
And you know what? It's local and it's national. It's what it is astonishing. Marty has written in and said it's not so much the black community in California, but the black evangelical community in California that is that backwards. And he says, which is why I'm nearly an atheist. Oh, I understand. It's why I'm a recovering Southern Baptist. I'm the pale version of that. But yeah, without a doubt. William writes in. He says, perhaps the reason we don't have good leaders who fight is because of all the poison in the food and water we've been forced to endure for decades. Some, or rather few, can still think and function and use common sense, but most seem to destroy the language and vent with rage and hate and anger and perpetuate fear. This country is broken into fragments and seems about as likely to be put back together as forcing the pieces of 20 partial jigsaw puzzle pieces to fit back together to even resemble something familiar or rational or something that even comes close to making sense. Now, I think we've got a pretty good, handle on the, on the national pulse. David also says, Kevin nailed that summation of racism in London. Wrong pub, boot party. Waiting with the packy for free, genuinely good Medicare? The skinhead will be polite in the anteroom of the surgery. Yeah, what is that? Is that some sort of ingrained appreciation of what is appropriate to a given situation? That there, and maybe it is. Maybe it is because all these, oh God, thank you, Kevin and David, because that's what it is. These idiots running around chanting the mersey-dotes and dozy-dotes at congressmen don't understand that you save that shit for the pub. That's bar behavior, and they're taking it out into polite society. To the extent that we still have polite society. But yes, that's what the corporate AstroTurf groups have tapped into. They have gotten these terrified, authoritarian, adrift in an existential sea, terrified, the miserable right-wing teabag and horses' asses. They have radicalized them. And they've gotten them to take what they would say in private amongst themselves out into the wide, wide world to show us that, by God, they mean business and the rest of us had better sit down and shut up or they'll come for us too. You want to know how damn bad it is? And I'm going right back to the phones. I can tell you how bad it is. Guess who's backing off? And yes, I remember the conversation last night, and yes, this is free publicity, and no, there's no such thing as bad publicity. I understand that, but this is exemplary stuff. This isn't, oh, look at the crazy thing he said. You're all going to recognize the goon's voice. So you might, it's no skin off my back to say Glenn Beck. But this is the guy who's been whipping people into a frenzy. He's behind a bunch of this stuff. He is a willing participant in it. He is about one nano inch away from being not a different from the radio goobers in Rwanda in the 90s. Don't think for a minute that if Glenn Beck didn't have the opportunity to get behind the microphone and say, go kill the liberals, he wouldn't do it because he would. You know, I'm not constrained. Nobody on the horn is constrained by the FCC. The FCC can kiss my ass because they don't have jurisdiction over this right now. So, you know, if I could sit here and do that kind of, all right, go out and take him out. No! I am constrained by my own conscience, just as you are. I am master of my conscience, and my conscience, in turn, is master of me, as it is of you. And therefore, we don't do that hateful crap that the teabaggers and the birthers and the deathers and the gooners and the goners are doing. Because we have consciences, and we make decisions for ourselves that are based on reason and common sense and some deep-seated ability to recognize what is moral and ethical and just. The only thing constraining the right wing is their fear of authority. But even Glenn Beck finds himself in the position of having to back the hell off a little bit.
The thing that you can do right now is to let Congress know that you are watching them like a hawk. You show up. You let them feel your burning gaze on them at all times.
Burning?
But here's the thing that I'm concerned about. Your interaction with them needs to be respectful, polite, forceful, and peaceful. I've been warning Congress now for a couple...
How long until some lower tier trying to get to be a higher tier right-winger says, "He's a sellout! Listen to that! The other day Fox said he can say anything he wants to, but look at him now. He's backing off. He's been called on the carpet. He's been shown the road. He likes that paycheck he's getting, and now he's selling us out. We've been sold." We'll find somebody who really knows how to stand up, like Michael Wiener. Come on. It's just us. How long till that happens?
A couple of years, and the time has come and passed for them to be able to learn from this. I've been telling them you have to listen to the people, or they'll be in real big trouble.
Now, this guy has spent literally months having nothing short of epileptic attacks. He's had something approaching seizures on the air. He's cried. He's run his own eyeball behind him. "Look into my eyes." He has whipped people into this frenzy. And now he's realizing that, oh, wait, what's this note? What? The return address says Fox News Corp Legal Department. Oh, this can't be good. "Dear Mr. Beck, we wanted to apprise you of your legal status vis-a-vis potential liability for any harm that may come to anyone whipped into a frenzy by your diatribes, who then commits a violent act. Mr. Beck, we will hang you out to dry like yesterday's underwear." All right.
"Well, now let me give the warning to you. If anyone thinks that it would be a good idea to turn violent, think again. It would destroy the Republic. I feel it with everything in me. There is a great reason for hope right now, because I am telling you, for the first time since I started saying this in the last couple of years, for the first time I know it, I feel it, the..."
Yeah. No, see, that's code. He ain't telling us not to be violent. He's telling us because they've told him he has to say to us not to be violent, and what he really wants us to do is be violent. See, that's how it is. Oh, he's a smart one, that Glenn Beck.
"American people are starting to wake up. These people in Washington have no idea what they have done. They have wakened a sleeping giant."
Dear God. He's hauled that one out. "I fear we have awakened a sleeping giant and filled him with a terrible resolve." Oh, please. But wait. Glenn Beck still enjoys his little wingnut wonderland, and he doesn't want anybody ruining it.
"But just one lunatic like Timothy McVeigh could ruin everything that everyone has worked so hard for, because..."
Because why, Glenn? It's already happened, buddy. At the insistence of you and people like you, doctors have been shot. Cops merely knocking on doors have been blown away. Security guards in museums have been killed. Worshippers in churches have been gunned down during a children's play, Glenn. And that blood is on your hands and the hands of the other right-wing thugs who helped make it happen.
These people in Washington won't pass up the use of an emergency. Look how the media ran with the abortion doctor killing. They tried to...
Oh!
Yeah. These people in Washington won't pass up the use of an emergency. You mean like George Bush standing on the rubble of the World Trade Centers using a phony badge? The same shtick his daddy had done 9, 10 years before? And saying, we have a CN in Texas, wanted dead or alive. We going us on a crusade. Oh, no, that's not who you're talking about, is it, Glenn? No. No.
Pin that despicable act on Fox in general, and specifically Bill O'Reilly and me.
Because you have ownership of it, Glenn.
The only thing either of us have ever said is that there's no reason for that, ever.
Wrong. Wrong. Your buddy Bill O'Reilly specifically referred to Dr. Tiller repeatedly as Dr. Killer. Referred to him as a murderer. But you're in some soup, aren't you, Glenn?
I don't want to ever hear from our own Americans, anyone, voicing some sort of Muslim extremist-type justification as we...
What? You just want to hear right-wing evangelical justification. Is that it, Glenn?
Heard in the circles after 9/11. Well, I could see how they, you know, how they felt they had to do it. Of course, I don't agree. Absolutely not. There is no excuse for violence. Our founders sailed across the ocean.
There's no excuse for violence that might wind up in your shoddy ass being fired and hitting, going back and doing your little cheap-ass radio show and not having the million-dollar payday from Fox. That's what you're saying, Glenn Beck.
Ocean battled killer storms, smallpox. They vomited for 3 months on a tiny little wooden ship with a bed sheet for a sail just to get a grievance before the king. They did that for 20 long years. What have we done? Well, I sent an email. I made a phone call. They won't even listen to me anymore. So the next logical progression is email, phone, a gun? Only for a crazy person. If you
know, only for the people who are watching you, Glenn. Only for the people who are watching you. You've made reference to violence time and time again. And now, your ass is in a sling. Wow. But that's the upper end of the right-wing megaphone food chain. Wait till you hear what's coming from the lower tiers, the local boys. Yeah, that's going to curl your hair, too. Hey, welcome to the program.
C'est moi?
It's you.
How you doing, Brother Bob?
I'm doing good.
Well, you've obviously seen the traveling AstroTurf nut job show, correct?
Yes.
You know what I keep on remembering every time I see them, right?
Right. I'm sorry, I'm hearing something in your background there, but yeah, go ahead.
You remember that?
Yes.
Brother Lowe's Traveling Salvation Show? Well, that's what they got going.
Only it's, what is it? I mean, it's not, you know, it's not Traveling Salvation.
Traveling Damnation.
Traveling Anarchy?
The Traveling Damnation Show. I mean, you know, these people are... They're not people. They're lunatics. I mean, real lunatics. Oh, heaven help us. We don't want any Swedish health care. We don't want Canadian health care. We want to die right where we are. What's wrong with these people? Are they just plain nuts?
Golly Moses. See, just plain nuts is easy. And I really, really do resist that. And I resist it because that lets them off the hook.
Yeah.
And I won't do that.
Well, and also, these people are paid shills, for God's sakes. This is anything but grassroots. It is pure and simple AstroTurf and corporate lobbying under different guise. Whatever happened to the concept of bribery, Bob? We're back in the era of credit mobilier, where they were handing out pieces of the action for the railroad that the government was paying for, and they were handing out on the floor of the House and the Senate. We're back there. These people are owned. They're owned by the corporations. They won't even stand up for their own constituents.
But I'll tell you what, there's beauty in the con costs because they don't, they're, how can I put this? They're the people that are roped onto the benches in Plato's metaphor of the cave.
Right.
And all they ever see are shadows of reality. But because they never look around them, they think that the shadows are reality. They don't know that they're being had, or they're engaged in some level of cognitive disconnect that allows them to look past it we might be being used, but...
Well, they don't care. That's the whole thing. The point is we weren't supposed to have permanent politicians. That's why it was called public service. You were supposed to take some of your time and go serve your country.
Ben Franklin described public service and the end thereof, like when your term is over and you quit.
Mm-hmm.
He described that as a promotion.
Exactly. Well, these people get promoted. They go from Congress to multi-million dollar lobbying jobs.
And, you know, and in the end, it's the lure of the trough.
Yeah.
You know, 120 large to be a congressman, you know, I guess that's not bad money. But, man, what comes after?
Exactly.
And you get the little button, and nobody makes you take your shoes off to go into the building anymore.
Yeah.
And people call you sir, and they bow and scrape in front of you when you go home like you're something better than they are.
Yep. Like, you remember Billy Tozant?
Yep.
The Democrat turned Republican turned lobbyist who, right before he went out the door, passed the pharmaceutical bill. That SOB?
Yep.
I don't know. I really think we need to bring back the idea of bribery. I think we need to bring back the idea of corruption. I think they ought to institute laws where, you know, you must have it at least at a minimum 5 years, maybe 10 years, before you get a job with any of the industries that you have had a hand in regulating.
I'm still pushing for the IQ test, cause nobody gets into Congress without at least an IQ of 105. I mean, that's a pretty low standard.
Oh, God, yeah.
It's kind of like how you get 600 points for getting your name right on the SAT.
I mean, Let's be brutally frank about it, Bob. If we took and emptied the chat room and sat them down in Congress, the average IQ would skyrocket.
Yes, it would.
And that's not a joke.
You know, I saw, I was in the Hart Senate office building, and you ever been somewhere and you see something and you're so shocked, you're like, and you lose all ability to communicate? I just walked up to an elevator, and lo and behold, there's Joe Lieberman just standing there big as life. And there was so much that wanted to bubble out of me in this sort of the speaking in tongues, you know, holy sh! It's you! You little bastard!
Glossolalia.
Right. You know, just power Tourette's. And instead, all I can do is stand there. It's like there was some sort of evil force field around him that rent. Because I just looked around. No, that it is. Oh, And the door opened and he was gone. And I was like, I didn't even get out a good droopy voice. Good to see you today, Sander.
I don't know. Things have changed so radically. I can't even wrap my mind around it. I remember when I was a kid, and I happened to walk into an elevator, and who should be there but Senator Bobby Kennedy. And we talked.
Yeah, see, that would be nice.
You know, he actually took the time to talk with me. We walked out, and he talked all the way back to his office. We shook hands. The man was one of the most brilliant people I had ever spoken to. I mean, and it just came naturally. It's amazing. Nowadays, if you walk into an elevator full of senators, the mind-sapping stupidity would drop your IQ by 50 points.
I hate to admit that you're probably right, but you're probably right.
And if you got into an elevator with Michelle Bachmann, you'd be drooling.
Well, like I said, I walked by her office, Koss. And I just, you know, I had my hand on the boy's back, and I just, well, it was like the time that when he was a few years younger, and I saw a copperhead crossing a path, and I had that moment of superhuman strength, and I just picked him up by the back of his shirt and threw him about 15 feet forward.
Mm-hmm.
And I just put my hand behind his back and said, "Move, boy," because the door was open and there were snaky things and there was like blood dripping from the walls and the walls were breathing like a bad acid trip, and insanity was just, it was like, you know, it was like opening the door into what's her name's room in The Exorcist. I mean, for all I knew. Another door was going to open, and Michelle Bachmann was going to be standing there, and her head was going to be doing 360s, and it was just like, you know, and then hell would open up, and me and the boy would just, go, boy, faster, crazy's coming out.
I mean, she is a soul zapper, really. She's not a human being.
I happened to be walking through the living room the other day, and the very end of Men in Black was playing. You know, the denouement part where Will Smith is going over the tip sheets.
Uh-huh.
And his partner, Maura Tierney, says, we got a call from the Zorgian ambassador. He wants tickets to tonight's Bulls-Knicks game. And Will Smith says, call Dennis Rodman. He's from that planet. And then, call Michelle Bachmann. She's from that planet. Because she ain't from the... You know, maybe she is an alien and she knows that the Earth really is only 7,000 years old. Maybe she was part of the alien race that planted the dinosaurs here to confuse us.
Just see...
I miss Bill Hicks.
Just a look into those eyes and the crazy stares out big time. I mean...
Yeah, but, you know, Congress has always had a Looney Tune or two.
Yeah,
but now the Looney Tunes are actually they've got their own political party and they call themselves Republicans, because you know that's Minnesota, that's Michelle Bachmann in Minnesota, but there's another MB way down south a little ways, and that's Marsha Blackburn, and she's crazier than a sprayed roach.
Oh yeah. Oh, and you heard that. Our friend, I'm sorry, Uncle Albert isn't on. There was a little to-do at Sensenbrenner's office.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. The pro-public land people were there and had a rather
warm greeting for him when he came in.
He's
not real thrilled with him.
No, I'll bet he didn't like him a darn bit.
Oh, no.
Oh, and this, you know, this just rolling in, David in Tennessee sent this along from NBC Sports. NBC Sports? Yeah. Guess who's contemplating a run for Congress?
Oh, God.
You're really not ready for this, Cos.
I'm glad I'm sitting down. Who?
Lou Holtz.
Oh, jeez.
Former coach of the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, former coach of the South Carolina Gamecocks. That Lou Holtz. And, you know, what's David say? How's your Daffy Duck voice coupled to a high falsetto voice crack? It's going to take some work, but, you know, it would be worth the time. Congressman Holtz?
Good God. I mean, he is batshit crazy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, crazier than an outhouse rat.
Oh, yeah. Jesus God.
And you know what? He'll run in South Carolina. You know what that means? And I'm sure David in South Carolina is going, what, what, what? Because he knows, too.
He's going to get elected.
If that little bastard runs in South Carolina, he'll get a seat in Congress.
Well, maybe he'll chase Sanford out of office. That would be amusing.
They'll have a cot ready for him at C Street.
Oh, these people.
That's a little terrifying, ain't it?
Oh, you know who else at least used to Congress with the family? And this may not knock you for a loop. Hillary Clinton.
Hillary, yeah. But you know what? I can almost tolerate that from Hillary because Hillary will pursue power wherever power is seated.
That's true. That is true.
You know, look, and this was, you know, this was said a couple of nights ago on the show, maybe last night, maybe Friday. I can't, they all run together after a while. It's one long conversation for me, Cos. Maybe it was last night. But that, you know, look at who we've got for a majority leader. And we're going to work positively. You know what? For what a majority leader is supposed to do, I got a feeling Hillary Clinton would march in, kick ass, and take names and say, any of you that ain't going along on this ain't going to have so much as a committee seat anywhere but the senatorial toilet.
Yep.
Who wants to fight about it?
Good point. You know, I'm starting to think I'd much rather see Sherrod Brown as the majority leader.
Well, you know who's got the tenure to be majority leader that I think would probably hold up pretty well in the office? I've been doing some thinking about this, Cos. Tom Harkin from Iowa.
Yes.
The guy's got good liberal street cred.
Yep.
He knows what needs to be done. The people of Iowa, who also send Charles Grassley to the Senate, what a dichotomy. Someday I got to go to Iowa and just, you know, I guess, you know, Iowa City and so forth, they send the same people to Congress. And then the wild-eyed right-wing weirdos from off in the corner somewhere, they send the freaks. But, you know, there's Iowa that sends Charles Grassley and Tom Harkin year after year after year after year. And Tom Harkin is pretty damn good.
Hasn't Harkin been to a couple of the Farm Aid?
I think he has. He showed up for the Progressive Media Caucus, and I had a nice conversation with him last January with Guy.
I mean, he's a mensch. He is.
Don't you think he could do a little bit better job than Harry Reid?
Oh, God. Potted plant could do a better job than Harry Reid.
Look at Jack Reed from Rhode Island.
Yeah.
You know, not exactly, a screaming wild-eyed radical. But he could do a better job.
Oh, yeah.
Russ Feingold could do a better job. Barbara Boxer could do a better job.
Yeah. I would love to see Barbara in there. Oh.
You know, I can think of a lot of people that would do a better job than Harry Reid. But you know what I think? What I think it boils down to is that Harry Reid got the job because he was the one that everybody else could agree, well, you know, I don't want that liberal son of a bitch. Well, that guy, are you kidding? That guy's almost a Republican. He's so conservative. And they find, you know, it's kind of like Claudius becoming emperor of the Roman Empire when he's found hiding behind a drape.
Yeah, exactly.
Harry was hiding behind the drape.
I don't know about
that. And in a time that calls for greatness, that calls for leadership, that calls for absolute dedication to purpose and single-mindedness of drive, we get droopy. Can you imagine that? Two of the most well-known men in the Senate, two of the most well-known political figures in the country, Joe Lieberman and Harry Reid, are both represented by the same cartoon voice.
And I thought Reid was a boxer at one
point. He was. The Golden Gloves. And they say he was a ferocious fighter. And, you know, his daddy, I think, was a miner of some sort, and a drunk or some such, and used to just beat maybe I'm getting the story wrong, but was incredibly violent to his family, you know, drank up the paycheck, that kind of stuff. And Harry came up hard. I mean, he came up Dennis Kucinich hard. But look at the difference, my God.
Yeah, Kucinich, again, is a mensch, and Reid is Reid.
Well, somebody apparently at one point in time took Harry up to yea verily that high place and said, look, herein lies the world and all its dominions, and it's all yours if you'll just fall on your knees and worship me. And Harry stripped down to his magic underwear and was on his knees before his clothes hit the ground.
The worship of Mammon.
Well, what was Juanita saying? Ye generation of vipers? Yeah.
That's them.
Hey, Koss, I got to roll on. I'm going to try to hit a couple more calls. Thanks, brother. Good hearing from you.
Yep. Talk to you later.
All right, later.
Take care.
Bye. Our buddy the Cossack calling from North Florida. And come on. Oh, you both quit. Daggummit. Hate it when that happens. If you do want to get into the conversation, there are a few minutes left. But I told you a couple of minutes ago, you know, I said, okay, that's what the top tier's doing. Wait till you see what the lower tier's doing. Expanding on my potential explanation for why suddenly Glenn Beck became so, you know, hey, put the guns down. David in Tennessee says, maybe that nutcase woman that wanted to photograph that FEMA concentration camp in New Jersey made him a little nervous. You know, she, the I Heart Glenn Beck goof on her MySpace page with the trunk full of weapons and ammo. Yeah, Glenn might have gotten, but Glenn, you're a little bit too connected to these folks letter from the Fox News legal department. Because, you know, it's one thing to be nuts. And it's another thing to make millions and billions off of people who are nuts. But it's another when the nuttiness begins to affect one's ability to continue worshiping the money. You see the distinction? Yeah. Yeah. No, what the lower tier is doing, this is... this is from Tennessean.com. You know, Nashville is no slouch market. They got a guy on the air there named Michael Del Giorno that Bart Cop pretty much hounded out of Oklahoma. Bless his heart. Guy was caught red-handed screwing around in Vegas trying to, you know, trying to cheat the house and stuff like that. At the same time that he preached family values, that's Michael Del Giorno. He's on the air on, 97.5 FM in Nashville. Well, there's a new kid on the block, relatively new kid on the block. at 97 FM in Nashville. The events in this story happened this past Friday. It happened at the Cornerstone Church in Madison, Tennessee. And it was an event organized by conservative air personality talk show host Ralph Bristol. 600 Christian conservatives came together at the Cornerstone Church in Madison. And trust me, from the photo that shows Ralph Bristol standing on stage, berating the audience while his image is cast on a giant jumbotron screen behind him. Cornerstone Church ain't no little corner tabernacle, okay? These guys will do anything for publicity, and he is so desperate to make the top tier, this Ralph Bristol freak. He pulled together this event. The Tennessean says in an order, the Tennessean says in a story, a report by Bob Smetana, an old-fashioned God and Country revival broke out at Cornerstone Church in Madison on Friday night, complete with patriotic songs, flag waving, and a dose of fire and brimstone about the dangers of socialism. There was even an altar call. Yeah, this thing that was organized by Ralph Bristol was called a call. Wait. No. We know how they are, right? Remember back 4th of July, bring your gun to church Sunday up in Kentucky? Well, this ain't that far south. A call to arms. That's what the event was titled. A call to arms. And Bristol had sign-ups there for Tea Party Nation, so people could become teabaggers. And the Eagle Forum. Another person there by the name of Judson Phillips, who was from Tea Party Nation, you know, teabagger, said, "You must get involved. The time for sitting on the sidelines is over. We gotta fight the Obama Pelosi Reed axis of evil." Notice. Call to arms, fight, axis of evil. You know, they're still using the Newt Gingrich vocabulary playbook. Tonight we're doing a different kind of altar call. Tonight's altar call is not for God, it's for country. Bristol got on stage and gave a long harangue about the importance of independence in his own life, because, you know, he ain't never had no government help. He told them stories about growing up in rural Nebraska, where his daddy worked for the post office. Oh, wait! You mean the socialist post office? The government-run post office? Yeah. But he was independent. And they didn't need no government money. And Daddy worked for the post office for free. On the side, he ran a dairy farm. Yeah, right. Which paid more, the dairy farm or the check from the government? But that sense of independence is being replaced by reliance on government. They want to help us, even if we don't want the help. What do people in Nashville want to be listening to some darn half a Yankee from Nebraska for? Good God, it's Tennessee, it's the South. Can't they home grow some redneck conservatives that talk like them? Arthur Tate's a grandfather, and he came out to see because he's worried about what the future holds for his grandchildren. And he don't like that one's health care reforms, even though they don't exist yet. I don't want to wait in line and have somebody say they can't help me because I got a heart condition. Yeah, no kidding. Welcome. And by the way, there were also guns. Lots of people came dressed in military army jackets and so forth, and they brought their guns. Oh, and by the way, in case you were wondering, being able to go to the doctor when you're sick, that to deprive a child of the fruit of independence is malnourishment of the worst kind, said Bristol. We are committing child abuse to generations of American children by getting them hooked on the milk that comes from that ever-growing obscene government tit. Yeah. And they brought their guns. They brought their guns to the meeting where they were being whipped into a frenzy. Oh, Merca, you ain't got no idea what's coming at you. Not even a little bit. And they're armed to the damn teeth. So it's time to ring off for the night. Thanks, everybody. Jump in there and order your prints. Limited edition. They're a bargain at $75. Just click the button on the website. It's right there and it's prominent. We'll be back tomorrow evening for prayer meeting. Get your praying clothes on. Thanks to John Fox, to Peter Godbold, to Ben Birch. Thanks to Coal River Mountain Watch, the hardest working, bravest people I know. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Also here.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy Gene Show.
What your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream. This is the Guy Gene Show. Gene Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Hey, here we go. Off and running with the Guy James Show. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. So good to have all of you along with us today. We'll try and have an entertaining program for you and informative as well, trying to get things balanced out here in the studio. When you're in here fooling around trying to tune things up, you're never quite sure if you've got everything just right. So I'm not sure we do today. But anyway, we're going to live with it, and I hope we're coming through loud and clear. And I do want you to know you are listening to the Guy James Show, coming to you from the blue waters and sandy beaches of beautiful Fort Myers, Naples area, Florida. Wonder how many of you saw that little news deal they had on MSNBC today about Fort Myers. We made the news again and again and again, as they say. They built a couple new big towers downtown right on the river, on the Caloosahatchee River. By the way, without question, one of the most beautiful rivers in America. A lot of people never even heard of the Caloosahatchee River, but it's big and it's wide and it's beautiful here in Fort Myers. And they built a couple of new residential towers, condo towers down there, and each of them have 200 units in it. And as things were wont to go here a couple of years ago, things started to crash. And it turns out in one of those towers, there are 200 units and only one condo being occupied. Imagine living in a 200-unit condo building. I don't know how many floors. I don't know, 20, whatever, 30. And you're the only place in it. It's scary. And they're negotiating back and forth with the bank, trying to get them to trade out to another unit and another building and whatnot. But what a weird situation it was. And we were on the national news again. That's nothing new. This area has been on the national news a lot because of real estate issues. That's for sure. How are you today? How are you getting along? How was your weekend? Did you go out wine, women, and song and all that sort of thing? Did you go to the lake? Did you go to the swimming pool? Did you have a backyard barbecue? It's summer after all. Got to admit, I had my first sweet corn the other day. As many of you may know, the produce that grow here in Florida, and let me explain to those of you that haven't listened for a long time, I'm a 12 and a half year resident of Florida, and the produce grown here is okay, but it's certainly nothing to write home about, especially the sweet corn and the tomatoes, just no good. You just can't grow good tomatoes and sweet corn down here. I don't know, for some reason. Anyway, I got a hold of some good Urbana, Ohio sweet corn over the weekend, and I thought I had died and gone to heaven. Oh, it was so good to have some great sweet corn again. So somebody mail me a bushel of that corn, okay? The Guy James Show, you'll find it on the website. A bushel, half bushel will do. I'll sit down and eat about half of it at one sitting, I think, if it's as good as what I had the other day. But wonderful to have those delights, those things you miss from back home. Although this is home and has been for a dozen years, there are certain things you miss, and good produce is one of them. So, wow, it was right. ELO says she's going to get right on it. She's going to mail me, UPS me, a peck basket of good sweet corn. That'll do. I don't have to have a whole bushel. Oh, I was asking how you're doing. Hey, I was reading our local newspaper here, and it's a real treat. I wish I could find a way to publish it on my website. Maybe I'll be able to do that, because I know you would enjoy it. My listeners would enjoy the newspaper here. My listeners would enjoy the local 5:30 to 9 in the morning radio show. The rest of the radio shows here are the syndicated crap that, you know, everybody else has with the Glenn Beck. And we'll talk about Glenn Beck a little later in the program. Oh, maybe I should talk about him now. What is it with the Glenn Beck phenomenon? Don't take this as any kind of jealousy or envy or anything like that. What I do not understand is, I do not understand how a Glenn Beck can, in a few months, become a Pied Piper of every frickin' lunatic that resides in the United States. I know people who are so damn proud of the fact that they follow Glenn Beck. I, for example, I know a local businessman. Actually, he's not a businessman, but his father and his mother own a large chain. I shouldn't say it's a large chain, but I don't know, maybe 25, 30 stores. That's pretty large to me. Of tire stores, tires and auto repair and all that. Kind of like the Tuffy Muffler shops and all that, only it's not that. And I'm not going to say the name here. Floridians will know who I'm talking about. But I know the son of the people that own this thing, and they have started advertising, sponsoring Glenn Beck. And they are thrilled to tell you that they have Glenn Beck, they're sponsoring Glenn Beck. They've all become followers of Glenn Beck, and Glenn can do no wrong. Of course, in an area like this where it's 2-1, conservatives against liberals, why, I guess it doesn't hurt their business any. I, for one, used to do business with them because I knew the family and I knew the son. And so I'd buy my tires and have minor auto repair done there, but never again. What the hell is wrong with people that would hook up Glenn Beck's name with their business? I know it's to make money. I know that. But people have made money off of Charles Manson. I don't understand why for a dollar, to make a dollar, you would hook up with somebody like a Glenn Beck. And I notice now that he's everywhere around here. Many, many businesses in this area have hired Glenn Beck and paid him umpteen $1,000 to make commercials for him that they play on the local right-wing radio station. You hear Glenn Beck all day long on the right-wing radio station here. Many. A local kitchen cupboard company now has Glenn Beck extolling the virtues. And you know how he does these commercials. Have you heard him? Well, I've known these folks for many years, and they run their business the right way. The honest way, the good old American way. They're American business people because I, Glenn Beck, have said so. Oh, my God, it makes me want to puke.